जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षील प्रभुपाद की जयं तिलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి Gaur Premanand, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namamu Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini, Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadharini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం సావిదాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాందియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానువిదేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానదాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిత శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనతారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంత ద్వంద్వహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయదే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనుగవరాయదే గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్త్వియం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌపాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వ పదాం భోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధా శీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోవిర్గోపినాథాశ్రియే సునాం తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద
ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
Last Saturday we saw this verse mayeva verse 8 mayeva mana athatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva aga urdhum na samshaya. So we have seen that beginning of this chapter, when Arjuna asked that question, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasade e chapi aksharam avyaktam teshamke yogavitama. This was Arjuna's question, isn't it? Arjuna asked that question. Arjuna mentioned there that evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasade. A person who is continuously remembering Krishna and performs upasana. We mentioned what upasana means, isn't it? Upasana means just like if you keep oil in a pot and you make a hole at the bottom, when the oil starts flowing down, nairandariyana, that means continuous flow that happens. Similarly, when one gets absorbed in Krishna, in devotee's language, in Krishna, in the Jnani's language, in the soul. So when gets absorbed in that spiritual activities, what will happen? That such a person, Arjuna is asking this question, Tum paribhasade ejabi aksharam avyaktam. Is that person who is engaged in satata yuktaye? Satata yuktaye means always. Because in the 11th chapter, when Krishna concluded that chapter, what did Krishna say? Krishna said, mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarchita nirvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. That was the final verse in the 11th chapter. So continuing from that verse, Arjuna raised this question, evam sadada yuktaye bhaktasvam paribhasade. That is referring to that verse. Or ejabi aksharam avyaktam teshamge yogavitama. Or aksharobhasana avyaktam, unmanifested, who is better situated. This was Arjuna's question. Instead of answering that question directly, Krishna mentions there, mayavesha manoyemam nityayukta upasade shraddhaya pareyobhedasteme yukta tamo mada. Either this first process or the other process, doesn't matter. Shraddhaya Parayobedasteme Yukta Tamamada. Who has Shraddha, he is properly situated, Krishna mentioned there. And then, in the continuation of that, Edu Aksharam Anirdesham Avyaktam Paryubhasate Sarva Tragama Chindhenja Kodastam Achalam Dhruvam. That is referring to the Brahman. then we have seen that then upasanam that anirdesham avyaktatva ashabda gocharam itina nirdeshtam shakyate adha anirdesham. So because it is not very vyaktam, it's not very clear, it's not manifested, therefore it's difficult to explain that, and they engage in the upasana in various ways. And continuously that saniyamyendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhudahiterata. We have seen all that. Then Krishna mentioned that klesho adhigadarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyakta hi gadurdukam dehavadbhiravapyade. In that verse also Krishna spoke about the worship of the worship means worship of the impersonal Brahman, in other words. And Krishna mentions there, those who are absorbed in the life in this world, one, and those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them it is difficult. Krishna put a warning sign there. Klesho adhigadarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyakta hi gadar dukham dehavadbhiravapyade. Krishna says, so long as one is in the bodily concept of life, that process will be very, very difficult. And then as an alternative, Krishna gave this option that yadu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. That is Bhagavata dharma. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. That was the next verse. We have seen all that. Then Krishna also mentioned that those who are engaged in that Bhagavata dharma, for them teshamaham samudharta mrti samsara sagarat bhavami najral partha mayaveshita chedasam. If he has properly situated in the Bhagavata dharma, Krishna is saying he takes responsibility of that person released from the cycle of birth and death. He mentions there, mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva adha urdhum nasam shayam. So there, that's what we have seen the last Saturday. Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mai eva adha urdhum na samshaya. So here you can see mai eva visharupa ishware mana sankalpa vikalpaatmakam athalsva sthapaya. That mind which is made of, which is has these two tendencies, sankalpam and vikalpam. Sankalpa vikalpaatmakam athalsva sthapaya mai eva adhyavasayam kruvadim buddhim athalsva niveshaya. He has completely fixed in that, in what? Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. Mind is completely absorbed in Krishna and buddhi is also absorbed in Krishna. And tata kim syad idi shrunu, what will happen then? Nivasishyasi, nivasishyasi nishchayena tvalpana mai nivasam karishyasi. He will always be situated in Krishna. Krishna says he will be in me. He is situated in me. Sharira padat urdhunna samshayaha. Material body will drop off one day. Krishna is saying there that nivasam karishyasi eva ataha sharira padad urdhunna samshayaha. When the body drops off, sharira padam means the body drops away. When the body drops off, urdhunna samshayaha, there is only one possibility, he will go up, he won't go down. Asamshayaha atra na kartavyaha. That will be what is going to happen. Then you don't have to have any doubt about that. Krishna is saying, mai eva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mai eva adha urdhvam na samshaya. Krishna says. So we have seen up to that last Saturday. Then we will continue from that. In the next verse we have just started. Atha chittam samadhadum nashanknoshi mai sthiram abhyasa yogena yudo mam ichhaptam dhananjayam. So first one is that impersonal Brahman realization Krishna spoke about. Then he said it is a difficult process for those who are absorbed in the body and those who are attached to life in this world. Even slight trace of attachment. One who has a lot of attachment, and practically what it says is when there is no vairagyam in the person and when there is no there is no detachment from the body, bodily absorption, For them, it will be difficult, that process. Alternatively, Krishna gave the next option, which is Edu Sarvani Karmani, engaging all activities for Krishna and fully surrendered state, if he executes Krishna consciousness, that is the next option. Edu Sarvani Karmani, my sannyasya milpira. That's what, and a few verses, Krishna explained that a little bit more, how to execute in Krishna consciousness, completely surrendered to Krishna, that Krishna is doing everything, it happens through this body, and never allow the aham, that ego, to rise inside, and whatever happens in that process, not complaining about that, that, and in that state, if one executes that, Krishna is saying, my sarvani karmani manasanyasa malpare ananyena vyogena mam dhyayantam upasade. And Krishna also mentioned, tesham aham samudartha, such a person will eventually come back to me, he will never go down. So those few verses are that Bhagavata Dharmam process. If that is not possible, what is the next option? That is what this verse 9 is. If none of this is possible, then what is the next option? Atha chittam samadhadum nasham noshimai stiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dhananjayam. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, calling him as Arjuna, as Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya means one who can produce a lot of wealth. What do you say? A lot of wealth. How to acquire wealth in this world. Because in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, as you know, that he had to go and fight with many, many kings and defeat them and get the wealth from them. Bring the wealth from them. There's also, there was a, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was in a dilemma that to execute Rajasuyam sacrifice, you need a lot of wealth. And there was not sufficient wealth. It was at that time, Krishna gave this idea to Yudhishthira Maharaj that in Himalayas, there is a lot of golden pots and a lot of golden utensils there, which you should go and bring them back, what is known as Yakshavitam. That was lying there, and Arjuna went there from Himalayas, brought all that gold from the Himalayas, and with the help of that gold, they conducted all the sacrifice. Rajasuyam sacrifice was very, very, very expensive, cost a lot of money. So, so that name Arjuna received from that the name Dhananjaya. You can see in the world, everybody is Dhananjaya now, isn't it? Everyone is only in this one business, making as much money as possible. Therefore, this name suits everyone now. So, that's why you can see that people sitting at home and playing with the share market and stock market, they are making money, even in that way. Isn't it? So, why we're saying that is that they do that, by practice they become expert in that. Is it not? By practice, this share business also is like that. Just by practicing it, with a little bit of intelligence, how to play, they start making money in that way. That's exactly what Krishna is saying here. Atha chittam samadhadum nashanknoshi mayasthiram. If it is not possible by doing that way, abhyasa yogena tato. Start abhyasam. Practice it. He says. That is the option. That Bhagavata Dharma, what he has explained before, Krishna is saying, practice it. Abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dhananjaya. Krishna says to Arjuna. So, that means, you can, by practice, you can learn how to make money also. So, in so many things, by practice only, we, even in material life, that success is after practicing it for a while. So, Krishna says here, that, as much as it's possible to do that in the material life, similarly, in spiritual life also, adhyalpam also, through practice it's possible. That's what Krishna is saying. Abhyasaidhatam atachittam samadhatam. That means, in order to do the Bhagavata Dharmam, chittam should be in samadhanam state. Is it not? Chittam should be in a peaceful state. Atachittam samadhatam. But some people, it's very difficult to keep the chittam in control. Is it not? Chittam is always giving trouble. So many thoughts coming and dragging everyone in all directions. And before you know, you've gone out of the world somewhere else. So it normally happens that way. So, but Krishna is saying, Abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptam dhananjaya. Arjuna, it is possible by Abhyasam, it is possible to reach. So, there, but only difference is Krishna is talking about Abhyasa yogam. Abhyasa yogam. Normally in the world it is Abhyasa bhogam, isn't it? Instead of Abhyasa yogam, it is Abhyasa bhogam. And that same Abhyasa bhogam will eventually turn out to Abhyasa rogam. So Abhyasa yogam will change Abhyasa bhogam, and Abhyasa bhogam will become Abhyasa rogam. And the same Abhyasa rogam, when it gets worse, it becomes Abhyasa droham to others also. So that is why that means giving trouble to others will become an Abhyasam. Practice it. You can give trouble to everyone, anyone and everyone who comes across, you give them trouble in some way or the other. So Krishna says here, Abhyasa yogam. So the word yogam is more important there. Abhyasa yogam, Krishna says. Abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptam dhananjaya. There the word yogam is important because yoga means, Krishna explains in the Patanjali says there, yogaha chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti nirodham is yogam. That means constant flow of thoughts, chittavritti. If you are able to block it, nirodham, that is called yogam. As far as the Patanjali is concerned. In other words, when the mind is able to stop this continuous flow of thoughts and situated in the soul, that is yogam. And if that is not possible, Krishna is saying, abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptam dhananjaya. Krishna is saying, practice it. If it's not possible, practice it, Krishna is saying. Because through abhyasa yogam, Krishna says, little by little, how is that possible? Because Krishna's point is, whatever that is disturbing the mind, what causes disturbances in the mind or distractions in the mind, such things, such objects, such topics, little by little, through discrimination, able to remove them from inside. That is that Abhyasa Yoga. Abhyasa Yoga means, whatever that is causing distraction inside or causing disturbances inside, little by little recognizing them, these are the things that's coming and disturbing me in my creating chittavritti inside. And those things, by one's own discrimination, able to remove them from inside. Remove them from inside. So here, and that is Abhyasa Yogam. It is rejection here. Rejection here. Not in the yoga process, Ashtanga yoga process, it's able to focus on one point and controlling it at a point. That is in the Patanjali system. Yoga Sutram, it is like that. What Krishna is saying here is that instead of focusing at one, because ekagrata, what they call it, isn't it? Concentration in one place. When that's not possible, Krishna's point is, those things which are bringing distractions inside, which are creating a lot of chittavritti inside, identify them and through discrimination remove them away from inside, those which are causing distractions. So so many things here. One thing is, what we call it as mind is something to very closely works with the intelligence. However, the intelligence make the decisions, on that basis the mind gets all the movements inside. From various situations, based on our own intelligence, we make certain decisions. And after the decision is made, the mind will start bringing a lot of thoughts centered around that particular decision, what we have made. So, why that movement of the mind happens? Because of the ragadvesham inside. Because of the ragadvesham inside. So that is why Krishna says here that if you keep on observing this, you will notice one thing, wherever those objects which are bringing this disturbances inside, identify them and notice the fault in them or notice the problem they are creating for us and leave them behind. Leave them behind. And slowly train the mind to get absorbed in the soul. That is that Abhyasa Yogena, what Krishna is saying here. This requires time and absorption. For example, we know very well that what takes away a lot of our time in different chittavritti, isn't it? So many things, so many objects in this world, relationships in the family, similarly, things which are related to work, things are related. These are all creating all sorts of chittavritti inside. That's what they create chittavritti. And when they are creating chittavritti, knowing very well that these are the things which are taking a lot, creating a lot of chittavritti, Krishna is saying, one by one, knowing very well that what its real relationship with us is, knowing very well, and keeping them away from our thoughts. That's the process what Krishna is asking us to practice here. So, so mind is chittavritti, in other words, in order to engage in the soul, Krishna is saying, what does mind mean? Mind is nothing but chittavritti, isn't it? Chittavritti is the mind. And if you give strengthen the chittavritti, then mind will become powerful. Mind will become powerful. Where does the mind takes birth? It takes birth in the soul. And it stays in the soul and it dissolves in the soul. It's an unusual energy that manifests from the soul. It stays in the back, in with the soul in the background, and it dissolves eventually in the soul in the deep sleep state, which you see anyway. So there you can see behind the mind there is perfection there, and there is also the permanent thing. What is the soul? The soul is the permanent thing. So and covering that soul is mind doing all this kind of magic in us, inside us. So in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, while referring to the mind, it is studied in this way, that mind comes out from as an energy of the soul which comes and it does a lot of things and then it goes back. It goes back. And this mind is only very peculiar to the human species. Animals don't have a mind. What they have got is prakriti. That means, if you see the difference between the human body and animal's body, you will notice there that animals have their own prakriti, that's what works in them, their instincts, that's what causes them. They don't have a mind. Mind is only for us. This mind comes out only in us. Only in the human body, mind comes out of the soul. That's why it mentions there in the Bhagavatam, Brahmava Lokadishanam Udamava Deva. That animals didn't have that mind, therefore they could not turn their attention to the soul. They do not know about it. All animal species are like that. They have no mind. They are, what they have got is actually prakriti. Prakriti. Prakriti means their nature. And you can see also how they live in this world. They live strictly in adherence with the nature because of this. Because we have got mind, we are not able to do exactly the same way like the animals do. Actually, we are expected to be like that, in that way. Like the animal, like the way animals do. That we are supposed to be maintain this body in this world according to the laws of nature. We are not supposed to deviate from that. But because of the presence of the mind inside, we move away from that, and our mind dictates so many things, so many ideas, it comes to us. And from there, all this whole our material life we have manufactured from that with the help of the mind. Whereas animals, you can see 100 years ago or 500 years ago, you look at a bird, it made its nest in a tree. It had its family life, it had its offsprings, it dies and it leaves, goes away from here. Human body, think about it. Every time our economic crisis never seems to end at all. Is it not? We keep building. Today this is not sufficient, that's not sufficient. Always trying to improve the conditions. Whereas none of the animals, they keep trying improving their conditions. Have you noticed? They lived 1,000 years ago in the same way. Today also they live in the same way. Is it not? All animals, whether it's cows or pigs or crows, birds or any animals, if you look, observe them, they live exactly the same way they lived 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Whatever environment they are there, they will get find their food, they'll eat the food, they'll sleep, and they will go from here. That nature is coming from the prakriti. It's not their mind. Mind is not interfering there in anything. For us, we never endless this is. GDP has to go up every year, if not we are in trouble. Is it not? So this is our situation. That is what Krishna is saying here. That is a mind that we have to control. Abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dhananya. So once you keep on seeing in this way, this is a completely different way of looking at it. So unfortunately, our social science and all what taught us is that we are higher than animals. And therefore we can do all this, animal can't do it. But the sole thing from a spiritual point of view is total ignorance. This is to waste the time somehow, simply in the name of economic development for the body. So that understanding is important. Thus Krishna is saying here that the nitya vastu, the permanent thing, that we are not, although human body has got everything perfectly created, but still, what is that stopping us from realizing the truth inside, Krishna's presence inside, because of this mind? Because of the mind which is covering it all the time. So the mind is keeping us busy in this world, isn't it? So therefore, mind is showing this, and Krishna also mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, Sri Narada Maharshi mentions that in this Chittavritti, which is the mind, which is coming through, between two Chittavritti, Krishna is present there. Krishna is present there. And Krishna is saying that we have to look at it. That is what this Abhyasa Yogam Krishna is talking about. You see, between two Chittavritti, Krishna's presence, to take notice of that. That's what this Abhyasa Yogena. When we have developed very strong Chittavritti, it is very difficult for us to think in that way. People ask this question, where is Krishna between the two thoughts? Bhagavatam is saying to us, there is Krishna between the two thoughts. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this, Krishna is also saying that. Between two thought waves, you can say, suppose you are thinking about something, for example, you're reading a book, and suddenly you wanted to look at the time, I'm looking at the watch. So from this, between this thought which of reading the book and between the thought of looking at the watch, there is a gap. And Krishna is saying, keep taking notice of that gap. If you take note, that is this Abhyasa Yogena Tato, what Krishna is saying here. So not stopping the Chittavritti, but between the Chittavritti, what is in the middle, to taking notice of it. That is that Abhyasa Yoga. Not completely stopping the Chittavritti, but between two Chittavritti, where is that gap there? Taking notice of that gap is Abhyasa Yogena Tato Mamichaptam Dhananjaya. So that is Sakala Vritti Ke Gobhika Sakshi Krishna Swarupam. In the Rasa dance also, they mention the same thing in a very nice way. Two gopis are dancing, which are two Chittavritti. In between, there is Krishna. Krishna is present there. So, all the Chittavritti is observed by Krishna. Krishna Sakshi Swarupam. Krishna is the witness, Sakshi Swarupam, between the two Chittavritti. So between these two Chittavritti, there is what is called as Nishchalada. That Nishchalada, you will notice also in the Bhajagovindam prayers also mentions there, Salsangatve Nisangatvam, Nisangatve Nirmohatvam, Nirmohatve Nishchalatatvam. That Nishchalada. Nishchalada means that gap, what is happening there at that time between the two thought waves. Nishchalatvam. Because you can see, continuously nobody can think. I don't know whether you have. You may be thinking that all the time you are thinking. Actually, you're not thinking all the time. Because sometimes we can notice that you spend not a lot of time in thinking. In thinking. Lot of time we are sitting without thinking anything. But what the problem is, we give all the attention to the thoughts. That is the problem. We don't take a notice of how much time we are not thinking, isn't it? So normally what happens is, because there is no attention on the soul, and because we are stuck in the, what the devotees call it as, mental platform, isn't it? Mental platform, we say. Mental platform means that only thoughts are coming and we are caught in the thoughts, in that thoughts. Practically, you probably spend about 20% of your time in thinking, and 80% is practically in silence. 80% is in silence, a kind of a floating state. If you look into yourself, you will see. Not that you are thinking all the time. If you analyze that, you will notice that also. You're not thinking all the time. Sometimes you are thinking, and then there is a gap for some time, or after sometimes you get very intense thought waves, and then you'll see a lot of time you're not thinking anymore. You're just in a dream state, either yawning or a sort of a floating state in this world. So, because why it's said like that is that if they say 20% you are thinking and 80% in the state of the silence, if this thinking time, if it increases, say from 20% to say something like 30% or something, you will be in the madhouse. You will be in the madhouse. You see how the mind is controlled inside so well that it will not allow you to go beyond than that. Up to a certain level, it will keep thinking, and you are revolving in that 20% time. But if it gets more than that, and it will be very difficult. It will be completely difficult. So 100% nobody can think. 100% is not possible. We think like that. Oh, we are thinking 100%. I am busy in thinking, because you can practically say, even if it comes to 30% or so, it will turn into madness. It will turn into madness. So even those who are thinking a lot, probably actual thinking happens only about 20% or 20-25% maximum, not more than that. So that balance 80% of the time, what remains there, what do we do? That is that gap between the thoughts altogether. We are not giving any attention at that time. We are completely in a silent state, not involved in anything. So, we chitta vritti, what goes through our mind, is nothing but false ego. This is another thing. Ahanda. Ahanda means that why chitta vritti is originating in us, because of ego inside, ahankaram inside. They are closely connected, chitta vritti and ahanda. So, when we notice this, that the nischalata or that silence between the chitta-vritti, that is a perfectional stage. That's a perfectional stage. For person who is practicing Abhyasa Yogam, for him, chitta-vritti is not important. Rather, this gap between the two chitta-vritti is important for him. If you look at that verse, Krishna is saying here that Abhyasa Yogena Tato Atha. You see, Krishna is talking about Chittam now. You can see that verse, where exactly where it's coming from. Atha Chittam Samadhadum. He starts the verse like that. It's all talking about Chittam now. Atha Chittam Samadhadum Na Shaknoshi. Means, if you cannot keep that chittam under control inside, very subtle that verse is. Atha chittam samadhadam na. If you cannot do it, na samadhadam shaknoshi, if you cannot do that. Atha chittam samadhadam na shaknoshi mai sthiram. That means you cannot permanently fix it upon me, fix in me. Now, here, when Krishna says fix in me, means that if you can't be completely always surrendered to Krishna, that is from the bhakti point of view. If you cannot stay in that state all the time, completely surrendered to Krishna. Bhakti level. In the Jnana Margam, completely absorbed in the soul. Either way. If it is a Jnani, completely absorbed in the soul. If it is a devotee, completely surrendered to Krishna all the time. If these two options are only there, and both of them requires chittam. Chittam has to surrender, isn't it? Chittam is nothing but ahangarams packaged together, chittam. Atha, chittam samadhadam na shaknoshi mayi sthiram. That's the first two lines. Krishna is talking about purely about chittam now. Chittam, how to get the chittam under control. Krishna is saying here, atha chittam samadhadam na shaknoshi mayi sthiram. Then, if it is not possible, then abhyasa yogena tatho. What is that abhyasam? Abhyasam is this. Chittam, chittavritti. Between chittavritti, there is a gap. Give attention to that gap and more move away from the chittavritti and come to that silence in between. In between the chittavritti. In other words, bring the chittavritti completely down as much as possible to the lowest level. Then the better. You may not succeed in 100% doing that, but the more you bring it down, chittavritti, it is easier. That's what Krishna is saying there. As I said, nobody is spending 100% in the chittavritti. We have, there is gap between, for example, you may think about one thing, something. Then you will sit there, look at outside for some time. Suddenly a phone rings, chittavritti all goes into that phone call. Something happens there for a while. And you may remember about that phone call for a while. Leave it there and then that's gone. Then for a while there is some gap. So either if there is nothing to think, what does the mind do? Immediately go to sleep. Layam. Layam happens, isn't it? But Krishna is saying there that overall if you look at it, it will be like this, that 20-25% is about chittavritti, the thoughts, the thoughts comes through, and remaining time is all in a state of silence, or you can say in a state of half dream, half awakened state, Jagrat Swapnam state, you will be staying in this world. So that is what that verse is talking about. Abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptam dhananjaya. If you keep taking, if this was not important, Sri Narada Maharshi wouldn't have spoken about that in the Bhagavatam. You can see it in the Saptama Skandam. In the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi again repeats the same thing to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Isn't it? Supta Prabhodayo Sandhi, he says there in the 7th canto. Supta Prabhodaya Sandham. Suptam and Prabhodam. The vacant state and the dream state, that Sandhi is talk about there also. So, anyway, here, so that is what is important. That silence it between the Chittavritti. So, the purpose of chanting is for this. When you keep chanting, what will happen is that this Chittavritti, the mind is wandering around through so many thoughts. And if you keep on chanting the holy name, the mind will catch hold of that holy name. Mind will take to that holy name after a while. It will get absorbed in the holy name and you will find happiness there in that chanting the holy name. Till you get that happiness in chanting the holy name, we will have difficulty. Even while chanting, that's why everybody tells us that don't worry about it. Initially there will be problem, but if you keep chanting, eventually the mind will get connected with the holy name. It will become absorbed in the holy name. So, while chanting the holy name also, in between the holy name also, there is a gap. Whatever that is Krishna. That is Krishna. And in due course, gradually what will happen is that that maunam or that silence between chanting, that will become as your swarupam. Because that gap between is our swarupam, the soul from inside. When we say Krishna comes between the thought waves, means the soul from inside. He comes out between the two thought words. And that comes out and becomes more in a manifested way, and that is what Krishna calls it as Abhyasa Yogam. So that Abhyasa Yogam, you have to understand what it means. Abhyasa Yogam means this. Atha chittam samadhadum na shaknoshi mayi sthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato ma ichchaptam dhananjaya. Krishna is saying like that. That is called Abhyasa Yogam, Abhyasa Yogam. So here important thing is Yogam is important, that Yoga Siddhi, and it has to become Abhyasa Yogam later. So practically what does says that in this yoga system, Abhyasa Yogam, all that you have to do is to learn to sit quietly without allowing too much thoughts to get in inside, able to be in silent state, in a silent state. You know that many of the sadhanas in the adhyatmam, in spiritual field, is centered around this. In order that to happen, first thing to happen is that you have to get some control over the body and the mind, and particularly on the body and the mind. So therefore, what they do, we have this Nithyanushtanam, sadhana, all these things are for that purpose. That you make life in such a way that discipline it in somehow and make it very routine life. Don't make it very variegated life. Make the life very routine type. Then it is much easier to do that. Getting up at a certain time, a few hours of regular practice of spiritual life, then a controlled diet, and proper time of resting in life. If you practice it like that, what will happen? What's the advantage? After a while, you will notice the body knows how to react to that situation in a very, very balanced way. It will not get disturbed too much. The body, because once it got used to that system, that means every day if you keep doing the same thing, in due course what will happen is the body will get used to a system, and body will respond in a very nice way, because body, you don't have to think every time, every day, what you have to do next moment. This is the idea behind it, that to make the life in such a way that you have a very regular life. Now in the modern world, that is not very much appreciated, isn't it? They say that every day must be different. You have to change. It is not good. For spiritual life, that's not good. For sense gratification, that suits. But for spiritual life, this suits. Spiritual life goes very well if you are structured your life in a particular way. That in a very controlled way, if you live. Control means only this, that you don't have to think every moment what you have to do. Everything is in a streamline very well. That you get up every day at the same time and you follow that process in a way, such a way that you don't have to plan much. In course of time, you will see the body becomes very disciplined, and you will also feel that shanti, peace inside a person. Inside a person, you will see that. So that's the idea behind it. So that is what Krishna is saying here. If you do like that, chittavritti will come down a lot. Chittavritti will come down. Whereas normally you can see our life, how much it is busy with all kinds of things, isn't it? As soon as you wake up, your BlackBerry tells you what all your appointments are for the day. And people are adding on to it more and more appointment to make it more busy. So the worse, it gets worse day by day. And then it gets very, very difficult. Chittavritti builds up like anything. So the rishis, the sages know this very well. This way, how to bring that rhythm in the life. To bring that rhythm in life. It's a rhythmic thing. That bring the body in a rhythm, mind in a rhythm, and then spiritual life will go very well. That's their principle. All this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam becomes a lot more interesting when you have that peace inside. And you have that peace inside. That's why many, many people, if you, I don't know whether you have observed, particularly in the villages, or those who are practicing spiritual life, you will see that they don't entangle unnecessarily with so many things. Whereas we have pulled every technology into our life and made it very complex now, is it not? So now we had only, first we wrote the letters and then we are happy enough, at least it took a week or 10 days to get to the destination. Now then came the email, then Twitter, then Facebook. Now what else? And I don't know what's next going to come. Texting. So all these things, and constantly, you can see young men, 18, 20 years old, always doing this with their hands. Huh? You can imagine how much chittavritti is going through them. And that's why when you tell them to sit in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam class, they find it very difficult. It's too hard for them because of this constant, continuous. And that is what Krishna is saying here, Abhyasa Yoga. Abhyasa Yoga means bringing this body and mind in a disciplined state so that you don't have, they don't become a burden for you in your spiritual pursuit. They give away to you so that you can proceed further. Whereas if your all attention is on the body and all the attention is on the mind, then how can you absorb in the soul? This is the question Krishna is saying. That's why it is important. So here you can see yogam abhyasam will make it yogam. That's why Krishna calls it as abhyasa yogena tato. He says abhyasam, that practice will become a yogam. It has to become a yogam. So even then, after that you will notice, even if you are doing things, your mind won't be so absorbed because it's become so natural. That is why you can see those profession which has come traditionally, various professions, isn't it? Like people who did stereotyped jobs very much in a routine way. They did not have so much stress on their mind. Whereas people who are very absorbed all the time and thinking and all kinds of developing, for them it's difficult. So if we do like that, that means even while the purpose is this, even while pravritti is going on, work is going on in this world, attention is in the nivritti. You see? Pravritti is going on. Pravritti means the activities of the body, mind, everything. That is going on. But the attention is in nivritti. Yeah? Nivritti means, you know, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means, one is pravritti margam, other one is nivritti margam. Pravritti margam is the materialistic way of life, getting absorbed in everything and getting entangled more and binding us more and more. Nivritti means freeing ourselves from this bondage. That process is nivritti margam. Nivritti, Krishna says, talks about it. So, this becomes important even in spiritual activities. Suppose somebody is chanting the holy name, and even while chanting the holy name, if the attention is all about how much money I'm going to make in my this deal or that deal, but I'm chanting my 16 rounds every day. If it becomes like that, that is not yogam. That's not yogam. So many things like that. Without linking to any result, it has to be done. Nivritti is like that. Without linking with any result, if activities are done, spiritual activities are performed, that alone will become abhyasa yogam. So, sometimes people, everybody, a lot of people who nowadays also, with various ideas in their mind, isn't it? Various thoughts coming to their mind. They engage in come in spiritual activities, they perform. But even while engaging in spiritual activities, inside all other thought waves are coming regarding their work at the office or their family or with their career or whatever that is, fame and so many other things, whatever that's related to that. If those things are coming and then simultaneously if we are engaged in the sadhana or chanting the holy name, then that will not become abhyasa yogam. It will not become abhyasa yogam. So Krishna says here, so in the performing the sadhana in this way, that means keeping the body and the mind under control and then engaging in sadhana. That's the way it should be, engaging in sadhana. That way it will develop into abhyasa yogam. So, whatever, if there is no desires coming in for and linking that with our spiritual activities, no matter how much we struggle in this world, and if a lot of distress comes in life, and a lot of struggle also happens in life, our bhakti and chanting the holy name and is not intended for with any other purpose, then that will develop into, Krishna says here, that if you continuously surrender to Krishna and execute that, then it is Abhyasa Yogam. Then it is Abhyasa Yogam. So, this Abhyasa Yogam, what Krishna is talking about is that even spiritual sadhana when we perform, whether chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam or deity worship, in all these things, if we are careful enough not to link that with any of our life in this world, material life, then that will develop into, Krishna says, Abhyasa Yogam. So, first thing, to bring the body and the mind under control, to keep it under control. So, therefore, the rishis tells us that make it simple as possible, as much as simple as possible, so that the bodily maintenance does not become a big problem in everyday life. It stays in a very stable way, you can perform things. Do not engage in too many karma, which will create a lot of chittavritti also. After doing those two things, both the body and the mind, then Krishna is saying here, whatever sadhana we perform, nama javam, chanting the holy name, or sankirtanam, or deity worship, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all those things, if they are not connected with any kind of material, without any motive, if it is performed, Krishna says it will become Abhyasa Yoga. All that is a part of Abhyasa Yoga. So that's how you have to understand that verse. Atha chittam samadhanam na shaknoshi maisthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato maam ichchaptam dhananjaya. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So practically you can see, through Abhyasa Yoga, directing everything towards Krishna. Everything towards Krishna. So, that desire to go back to Krishna, all the time, if that attention, instead of going towards Krishna, if it goes towards the world, it won't become Abhyasa Yoga. Instead of going towards Krishna, if it goes towards the world, it will not become Abhyasa Yoga. So, directing towards Krishna is Abhyasa Yoga. And all, in other words, all the time, being conscious of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness basically. All the time being conscious of Krishna. So, in other words, self-realization or liberation from this material existence, if you look at it, in an ultimate level, it may not make much of a sense to us at this stage, but the force that creates inside, the force that is creating inside, that means this desire that builds up on in this Abhyasa Yogam, it creates a force, it will ultimately wipe out everything from inside. So that's why Krishna says here, Maam Ichchaptam Dhananjayam. Have you noticed that word? Maam Ichchaptam. Maam Ichchaptam means Abhyasa Yogena Tato. All those words are important, very potent words there. Maam Ichchaptam, Krishna says, if you have generated that force inside, Maam Ichchaptam. Maam Ichchaptam means strong desire to go back to Krishna in the bhakti language. In the jnani language, Maam Ichchaptam means self-realization. That's all. Because you're talking about the soul, realizing the self. That is Maam Ichchaptam. For the jnani, going back to Krishna is for the devotee. So, atha chittam samadhanam nashanknoshi maisthiram, abhyasa yogena tato, it will generate a force. Through that abhyasa yoga, what will happen is, it will generate a force in a person. What will be that force? Maam Ichchaptam Dhananjaya. It will be Maam Ichchaptam. It will be icha for going back to Krishna. That will become strong inside. That's what Krishna is saying there. And that is sufficient, Krishna says, if that force is generated inside. So, at the moment, there is also another force working inside. Only thing is, it's not for Krishna. That's only. Force is there. You can see in every one of us, there is a force there, isn't it? At the moment, what is that force doing? The force is, in someone, the force is for making a lot of money. In somebody else, the force is for becoming a big man in this world, prime minister or president or chief executive or president of a company or something like that. So that is there in everybody, some kind of forces operating there in everyone. So, the only thing is Krishna is saying The greatest personality, supreme personality is Krishna. So, so getting closer to him and to go back to him, that desire, that is what Mami Chaptum means. Mami Chaptum Dhananjaya, he says. So, if you desire that, that is the greatest wealth, Krishna is saying here. If you generate that force inside. So, if you do not do that, Krishna is saying, what will happen is, this force inside will again go back for making money or doing something else in this world, fame or followers or popularity or things like that. It will go back into the same thing again. You can notice that all the time. If you have not created that force inside very strongly for liberation or self-realization inside, if that hasn't happened, then what will happen? Again, the same force will always be there. It will go back after something else, to some other recognition in this world, or followers in this world, or something like that. Somewhere else it will go and get hold of something else and follow after that. That's what it says. Says here, in Mahabharatam, Bhishma talks about this. Bhishma is a very shrewd person. Because of the wealth of experience he had and the things life he went through in this world, isn't it? A few empires he built and destroyed and built and destroyed, and with very powerful personalities he ruled this planet. And that time, including Yudhishthira Maharaj and others, they found this grand old personality very difficult person to deal with. In the Mahabharatvara you will see him like that, isn't it? Bhishma's personality. So Bhishma mentions this in the Mahabharatam. He says to Yudhishthira, it's like this. So Yudhishthira asked this question, only if we acquire wealth, we can do some service in this world, is it not? He says to who says this? Yudhishthira asked these questions to Bhishma. In the Mahabharatam it is there. So Bhishma says to him that if you have wealth, which has come to you by inheritance or some other means like that, you can use it. Otherwise, by accident means yadrcha. Yadrcha means by providence. If wealth comes to you, some sources, it comes to you, you can, or by your effort in this world, you have made money, you can use that. All these things, you can use it for, spiritual activities, if you wish, he says. Bhishma says to Yudhishthira, and with that money you do the service, whatever you want to serve in this world, you can do that service. But just to do the service, if you go on making money, that's not good, he says. Just to do some service in this world, you start thinking that that's how mostly it ends up, isn't it? You start thinking that, oh, to do some service I need money, so I have to get from everywhere, and then the fundraising starts. And fundraising means it involves, now there's courses and seminars on fundraising as well. They tell you how to do it. And some sannyasis are going and attending these courses of doing fundraising. Sannyasis are doing this. So Bhishma is saying to Yudhishthira, never get trapped into that, he said. If fund comes without too much endeavor, that endeavor if it comes, or if by inheritance you get some money to do it, or if you have, when you are working in this world, if you are making money, and money comes by providence, you can use all that money. But only to do service to this world, if you go on all the time spending in acquiring wealth in this world, that is, Bhishma says, no, don't do that. He says to Yudhishthira at that time. Bhishma's arguments are very interesting. He talks about that. He says, if one doesn't have the money, then he is not meant to give charity, he says, in that way. He doesn't have to. He said, he doesn't have to do it if he doesn't have it. So he's not bound to do it. Because nobody will go and ask a beggar for charity, would it? So beggar sitting on the street, give me some money, you won't go to ask him that. So he's not meant for that, he says. So at the same time, he says, he will ask others, on the other hand. He will ask from others. Bhishma says here that when the cloth, the dhoti what you are wearing, or the dress what you are having, when it gets dirty, when it gets dirty and then washing it. Better than that, he says, not allowing the cloth to get dirty. That's the logic Bhishma puts it to Yudhishthira. Bhishma says to Yudhishthira, instead of allowing your cloth to get dirty and then washing it, better thing than that is not to get the cloth dirty first. Do you know what he's saying?
Yes.
He's saying that you don't create karmam in this way and then you have to get rid of the karmam later from inside. Rather than that, better not to create karmam in the first instance. Bondage in that way. He mentioned here, dharmartham yasya vidyaha varam tasya nirihada prakshalanadi pangasya durat asparshanam varam. That is his word on that. Prakshalanavi pangasya, before getting the cloth getting dirty, take care of that, not to get the cloth getting dirty, he says. So, nothing to be done in this world, and we have come here not to purify this world, we have come here to purify ourselves. That's the first thing. We are not come to purify this world, we have come to purify ourselves first here. So, endeavor for that. That is what Krishna is saying. Abhyasa yogena tato maam ichchaptum dhananjaya. Abhyasa yogam, if you practice it, maam ichchaptum dhananjaya. Krishna is saying like that. So, now the question comes, that is also not possible. Then what to do? That's the next thing he says here. What shall I do? Because I am stuck. Lot of us are stuck in this world, in this way, isn't it? Mind is not allowing that. Mind is not giving way to that. Mind is not giving way to that. And particularly, you cannot do anything. If you are saying like that, Krishna is saying there is an alternative, and another alternative, and that's the next verse. Abhyasepyabhasamartosi malkarma paramo bhavam madartam abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi abhyasepyasamarthosi malkarma paramo bhavam madartam abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Abhyasebi asamarthosi. Abhyasebi asamarthosi. I am not capable. Asamartha means not capable to do abhyasam. Krishna is saying. Abhyasebi asamarthosi. Then, mat karma paramo bhava. Asitarhi mal karma paramo bhava. Madartham karma mat karma tal paramo. Everything you do for Krishna then, in that case. Everything do for Krishna. You will only do things for Krishna in that way. If you do only things for Krishna. Mal karma, madartham abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Abhyasena vina madartham abhikarmani kevalam kurvan siddhim sattva shuddhi yoga jnana prapti dvarena avapsyasi. That is the explanation to that. What will happen is, madartham mal karma talparamo mal karma pradhana ityartha. Remember in the last chapter also he says, mal karma krata mal paramo mal bhakta. So do everything, whatever you do, only for Krishna. Only for Krishna's sake. And abhyasena vina madartham abhikarmani kevalam kurvan siddhim sattva shuddhi yoga jnana prapti dvarena avapsyasi. Because when we do karmam only for Krishna, it has to become karma yogam. Isn't it? It has to become karma yoga. Krishna is saying here, if your mind is not agreeing for that, what Krishna talked about in the previous verses, abhyasa yoga, mind is not agreeing for that, then simply do everything for Krishna. And in that way, you will eventually become, sattvagunam will build up inside through karma yoga, sattvagunam will develop inside, and you will get the purification inside due to sattvagunam, and jnanam, knowledge will come inside. That is what Krishna is saying. So here, sattva shuddhi says here, kurvan siddhim sattva shuddhi yoga jnana prapti dvarena avapsyasi. In other words, in order to allow for Sattugunam to grow inside. Allow the Sattugunam to grow inside. Like, for example, deity worship, chanting the holy name, and Salsangam, and association with great Mahatma's personality, and serving them in that way. These are some special karmam. Special karmam for them. Do that, Krishna is saying here. for some people, not doing something is easier for them. Not doing anything is easier for them. And for some others, they will have to do something all the time. You will see that is the nature of different people. Some people, they have to keep doing something. Otherwise, they will find it very difficult. And for some others, it's not in their nature to do all the time something. In reality, not doing something is more powerful. That also we have to understand. Because, for example, we have chanted the holy name, we have paid our obeisances in front of the deity, and we have performed the deity worship, and at the same time, not engaged in any kind of wheeling and dealing in this world, and means not stealing and lying and all kinds of, you know, in the modern world, how things are. So, not giving trouble to anybody and not getting influenced by the modes in a strong way, like kamam, anger, greed, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, things like that. And all these things are important. So, not doing something is more powerful than doing something. How much power, if you don't do something, what you will get that strength from that? You won't get that strength from doing something. This we have to take notice of all the time. So that's why that discipline in life is for this purpose only. To help us to understand that many people have this misconception that I've done so many things, I've done this, I've done that. So many things they have done. But then what happened was, they got trapped somewhere and they have done so many things they should not do. Rather than that, if you have not done anything great in this world, if you are able to keep that steadiness in life, Krishna is saying it is better. Better than doing something is not doing is more powerful, because not doing something means you are not creating vasanas inside. By doing things, you create the vasanas inside. Therefore, Krishna mentions like that. So, but for some people, in order to protect them from that, protect from what? From these negative emotions that develops in them, you have to engage them in something continuously. Otherwise, they can't stay away from that. That's their nature. You have to give them something for that. And if you don't give some engagement to them, what they will do, they will go and do something which is forbidden. That is the problem. Because karma vasana inside is so powerful, it's pushing them. If you don't give them an engagement, the best thing is if you can stay without doing those things. But if someone has a vasana inside so strongly pushing him to do something, it is better to give him to some engagement so that he doesn't go and do something which is forbidden things. Completely forbidden. So, so therefore, in order that, that's why in karmam you will see nishiddha karmam, which is forbidden. In order to come out of nishiddha karmam, what they do, what Vedas have done, the rishis have done, they have given them vihida karmam. Vihida karma means prescribed duty. Some duties are prescribed for everybody. Some duties are prescribed for everybody. And and the sages, they have seen this, that this is the only way you can get them out of their weakness. It's a weakness in them that they have to do something. They have to do something. Even you get up in the morning, if there is nothing to do, what they'll do, either they'll go and switch the TV on and sit in front of them, trying to get all the world news, what goes on all over. If not, they'll go jogging outside, running 20 miles, this and 20 miles that way. Something they will find, because they find restlessness. inside. And till they need to keep that time between going to work and from waking up, they have to keep themselves occupied with that. So something like that. So therefore, that is why only for this reason only we have this 24 hours chanting, 36 hours chanting, weekly chanting. All this is because only to develop this, that you don't do something otherwise. At least that 24 hours you won't do anything. Something else. So Akhanda Dhamam, we talk about this, isn't it? That so at least once in a way, that at that time the mind will go in not in the wrong directions. So you can see this in the past also, that the that they have developed a system like that. When you go into the temple, What was done, many hours they spend at the temple, especially in the olden days. It's not there anymore because people are too busy now. But in the past, the advanced, spiritually absorbed people, those who are advanced and spiritually absorbed, what they used to do, they from 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, right up to 10, 11 in the morning, they have a continuous process of engagement in the temple. Even though they will not be living in the temple, even though they will not be engaged in the temple, either in the chanting the holy name or chanting the Vedam or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all for the absorption of the mind. If not circumambulating the temple as many times as possible while chanting, or various other, any other activities that the temple may require. Somehow or the other, to keep the mind and the body absorbed in that, some kind of activities like that. So as I mentioned before, if you do all these things, it all looks like as though you're not making any money from that, isn't it? You'll get that feeling like that. So that's why people will ask this question, what did you do by doing all these things? What did you get? They will ask this question. So by doing all these things, you won't get anything. You won't get anything. But the thing is that if you don't do all these things, you will get something. That is the problem. Getting is the problem. You don't want to get anything. So because I'm frightened about that, therefore I'm doing it. You can see all the sages, they have given these, they have put a program and given to us that you get up at such and such a time. And for so many hours, you keep occupied with all these different activities. Temple worship, paying obeisances. Different people, according to their taste, they will do it. Some people will circumambulate the date. You can see that in many holy places still. Some people get up in Vrindavan, they go to all the temples in the morning. It's like a sadhana, every day. Every day they do. As long as their body allows them to do that. They do it as a sadhana. Go to every temple, pay their obeisances there, and pay their respects to every deity, all the major temples there. They go and spend their time. By the time you finish all the parikramam and travel, going to all the temples, you come home, it's 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. You chant your rounds at the same time, like that. And then you take some prasadam and rest for a while. If you make that a routine like that, the body will eventually become a very disciplined, and body will not cause too much anxiety otherwise. It will not cause too much anxiety otherwise. So that's the idea behind it. So same thing here also. That so people ask this question, what's the harm? What did you get? There's nothing to get. It's not to get that we are doing all these things. So it is a fact that if you don't go to the temple, nothing is going to happen. Nobody's going to question you why you're not going to the temple. But what the problem is that if you don't make it a practice in that way, that something else will happen due to that. So in order to cultivate satugunam also, it is helpful to go that way. So chanting the holy name, circumambulation of the deity, and paying your obeisances. Some devotees you will see every morning, they will pay a few hundred times obeisances to the sun. Obeisances to the deity, depending on the temple and depending on the devotees, according to their some sadhana they create like this for the body, in order that the body gets. There are many people who pay obeisances to the sun in the morning. for a few hundred times. They do that on a regular basis. Regular basis. The idea is that they are not getting anything from that, but at least at that time they don't want to get bound by karma and also not to fall into this trap of forbidden karma, nishiddha karma, and also karma that creates kamam and krotham, lust and anger. Otherwise what will happen, you will sit at home and sit in front of that channels, different channels. So, therefore, better than that is to go to the temple and to circumambulate the deity or pay your obeisances, all these things. So, Krishna is saying here, Madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsasi. Kurvan siddhim avapsasi. You can see this in the case of Valmiki. Valmiki was told to chant Rama Rama, isn't it? He was told to chant Rama Rama, but it's not coming out for him. He couldn't say it. So they told him, okay, you chant Mara 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 the other way that he could say. So he started chanting like that. So idea was that he should not, he will stop his sinful activities. What he was, Ratnagara was a dacoit, wasn't it? Ratnagara, Valmiki previously was Ratnagara, he was a dacoit. So when he met Narada Maharshi told Valmiki that you chant this Rama Rama. Valmiki said, I can't chant. Then he told him to chant Mara Mara, and then he started chanting Mara Mara Mara, like that it came, like that. So idea was that to stop him from that dacoit business and get him out of that. So the idea behind it, all these things, is that if that force that develops strongly inside, that going back to Krishna and self-realization and not to get trapped into any forbidden karma, that is the secret behind it. From kamya karma, kamya karma means fruitive activities. Nishiddha karma means forbidden activities. Kamya karma means fruitive activities. Nishiddha karma means forbidden activities, and kamya karma and nishiddha karma, and vihida karma means prescribed duties. So in order to shelter us from kamya karma, that means fruitive activities, and also from nishiddha karma, forbidden activities, the sages gave us what is called vihida karma, which is called prescribed duties. This is how They have looked into this karma aspect very deeper level, and they have understood that till you escape from this entanglement of karma, progress in spiritual path is a bit difficult. You may say so many things, but this karma is bound us from all sides in so many lifetimes, what all we have done, and in this life what we have done, and that's all lying inside as karma vasana inside. And with all that behind, our spiritual journey gets very strongly impeded by that. That's why. So kamya karma is fruitive activity. Nishiddha karma is forbidden activity. To first come from nishiddha karma to kamya karma, and from kamya karma to vihida karma. That is how it is. First of all, we have to come out of nishiddha karma. Many of the things what we do in this is nishiddha karma in this world. Is it not? Only done, it is done in a very polished way. So people take it, oh, it's all, we are all gentlemen, everything is wonderful that way. But many things what we do is nishiddha karma, it is. What is going on now is nishiddha karma. So nishiddha karma must be stopped first. And then from nishiddha karma, at least you should come to kamya karma. That means with fruitive activities, but within the framework of the dharma. So come to kamya karma, and but kamya karma also should be given up and should become to what is known as vihita karma, prescribed duties. So that's why prescribed duties for a brahmana is last for so many hours, because he has to, in order that for him to elevate himself in this higher level of spirituality, he has to be so careful about his karma. That's why many in the olden days, many brahmanas, if they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, their first meal, even a drop of water, will be at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Their first drop of water. Many there were who have lived like that. Throughout life, they lived in that way. That is, in that state. But for others also, this principle still apply, that as much time as possible to
to bring that discipline in that way. So,
so if we continuously engage in vihita karma, that is prescribed duties, mind will tell us so many things at that time. When we engage in prescribed duties, mind will tell us, why so much time chanting? 16 rounds, let me cut it down to 4 rounds or something. Or things like that, ideas will come in that way. So, similarly, if you are circumambulating the temple, you will think, oh, so many times, why? Once is enough. And that you may think like that. So, so it is at that time you may have to say to your own mind that the purpose behind it is this, that you don't need anything, and at the same time actually you are trying to escape from this bondage of karma, and he also wants to escape from another birth again, another accepting another body again. That's why you will see this in the Namokshasya. There is a prayers to Shri Parvati. In that prayers it says that this very principle, because she is the Brahmavidya is her. So there it mentions that that na mokshasya akamsha na cha vibhava vancha api cha name na vijnana apeksho shashi mukhi sukhe cha bina punaha atastvam samyaje janani jananam yadu mama vai mridani rudrani shiva shiva bhavani iti japataha na mokshasya akamsho. Then even for a desire for anything including liberation, doesn't matter if I have to take birth again, whatever it may be, that I will continue circulating through this cycle of birth and death if I am not careful. Because here, what it says here, let the body do whatever it has to do, but my intention is that I do not want to engage in the avihita karma. That means the duties which are not prescribed. So if we practice it that way, the idea is the mind will lose its influence on the body. That's the idea behind it. The mind will lose its influence on the body. They will start separating. You know that we are all very influenced in the body with the mind, isn't it? In spite of the fact that we keep saying, I'm not this body. Why we get disturbed over the body so much? Because the mind's influence on the body is very, very strong. So that is what he mentions here, that not only chanting the holy name and whatever sadhana we are doing, all that sadhana, we have to do it with this understanding, that how to lose that, how to break that influence of the mind on the body, or to break the influence of the mind on the body. You can see, you know, in the from the Vedic viewpoint, body is not ours, isn't it? Body belongs to Prakriti, nature. Somehow an identification has come with the body. Body is standing there like this. We have gone and identified with that body, and we are stuck in this situation now where we are. And if we keep on talking about the body, identifying with the body, then it becomes so strongly inside that you'll find it very hard to come out of that. That's why they will mention here that whatever sadhana if you do, whatever sadhana we do, the whole purpose of that sadhana is to break away from the influence of the body. You will see in Narayaniyam how nicely it is put. Melpathur, when he went at age of 28, he had very severe arthritis. His brother brought him to the temple and left him at the temple and went away. And very strong pain in the body, arms, legs, everywhere, terrible pain he was experiencing at that time. And although he accepted that disease from his spiritual master, it was actually taken out, karma vibhagam they call it, karma vibhaga prayaschitam. The spiritual master got the sickness, and
on the astrologers came and discussed about it, and they said that this is due to some previous prarabdham, he has to go through this. But in them days, they had that technology of transferring that disease from one person's body to another person's body. It was possible to do that. They had the knowledge even 400-500 years ago. They knew if you want to transfer the illness from one person to another person, it was possible. And that was what was happening there. So what they did, Achyuta Pushardi had many disciples. Melpathur was one among them. Melpathur, nobody was coming forward to accept that illness, especially at that young age. Achyuta Pushardi was practically very old and leaving his body. Melpathur said, I am willing to take it on myself. And that is how the they had this Karma Vibhagam ceremony, and then the whole disease was transferred from Achyuta Pushardi's body to Melpathur's body. The whole disease was transferred to him. And he got very sick. Achyuta Pushardi got cured completely. He got completely sick. So then he decided that he will go to Gurvayur and stay at the temple for till he gets a release from this disease, or is willing to suffer and leave his body there. With that intention, he came there. So surrendered were they in them days, the disciples and the guru. That attachment you can see there, that they were willing to sacrifice their own body for the sake of the spiritual master. So he comes, and then he stayed there over 100 days when he composed Narayaniyam. So if you look at Narayaniyam, you will see there, in the earlier chapters, he is saying to Krishna, every day, severe pain in the body. Pain was getting worse day by day. And he could not compose, you know, to poetry in that way. It was very, very difficult. So initially, he says to him, he's saying to Krishna, that please cure me from this illness. Otherwise, how can I continue this? There's a long story behind it. We'll discuss that some other time. So at one particular point, he says to Krishna that I have asked for curing this illness from my body. But now I have only one thing to say, that this material body, as long as I have it, I'm going to have some trouble with it. Hi me dehamoham. Unless you release me from this body, this problem is never going to get solved. Because if I get solved from this disease today, tomorrow something else will come. So that is not the solution now, I'm saying, he says to him. Then he says to him, Hi me dehamoham tyajapana pavanapuradi shayal prema heto dehe vitte kalatra dishu. That dehamoham, dehamoham means this attachment with the body, you should take that out of me first. Not cure the illness. But attachment to the body, if you take it away, that is the actual solution to the problem. Not that you cure my illness today, but tomorrow another one will come after this. So that is the nature of the body. That's what you are saying. Hi me dehamoham tyaja pavanapuradishayal premahedu dehe vite kalatradishu tolpadam smarandi soyam aneshunovam paramiha paradosa ambradacha akshikarnatvak jihva grey vikarshandi avashamadida kobinatval padabje. He says to him that that this body, eventually it is meant to be food for the animals, isn't it? What will happen? Either you will burn the body or you throw it away and some animals will eat them and finish with that. And so long as I have some connection with this body, I'm in trouble. That is the first principle in spiritual life. So long as I have some connection with this body, I'm in trouble. So till I come out of it, there is no other way that I can have any proper spiritual life. That's what mentions here also, that this knowledge, without this knowledge behind it, that it is not possible to come out of the problems. Come out of the problems. That is why we'll keep on rotating one body to another body, one body to another body. So therefore, so that whatever we are doing in the process of spiritual life also, sometimes you can see that people practice spiritual life for quite some time and you're seeing that what has changed.
You keep asking that question, isn't it? What has changed in my life? I've done so many years, whatever I have been told, I've done all that. But what's now happening to me? That's it. So the question is, it is at that time the knowledge must come to your help, this understanding. That whatever has been done was not connected to getting something. It was not connected to getting something. Always whatever we have done so that we don't acquire anything more. That was the idea of most of the sadhana. We think that in everyone's spiritual life, this stage comes one time or the other. After 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, doesn't matter. You come to a state, you start thinking, so many years I've done so many things, what I've been told. But what has happened to me now? What did I gain from this? It is at that time, this understanding is important. It's not for getting anything that you have done all these things. You have done all these things, so you don't get anything. If you know that, then you have escaped from the problem. Otherwise, you will get into more anxiety about it. You know what I'm saying? That if you keep thinking that I am practicing, I've done so much sadhana, I have done so much deity worship, I've done so much, but ultimately after so many years, I still not feeling any self-realization, not happened to me. You cannot think like that, because the idea behind doing all these things is this karma bandhanam, what is binding us very strongly inside, to loosen it up, this sadhana was necessary. All that sadhana has done is, it has quietly tied your connection with this world, broke it up. It has broken down. And at some point in time, you'll see, realize here that that so many years you have been walking and walking and walking through this process of karmam, and you have got here. The world of karmam, we have been making a journey through that for so long, in so many lifetimes, and we have got here where we are today. At least now we have to stop that walking through that karma process. So sadhana is not for getting anything. This is the first principle. On the other hand, sadhana is for escaping from karma. This is the important point. Sadhana is for escaping from karma. Sadhana is not for getting anything. Normally our tendency is always like that, is it not? We do something, I must get something. I should do something, I should get something. In the same way, if we take in spiritual life also, I've done all this, what did I get? If you start going that route, you are in trouble. You'll be in serious problem. That means that spiritual life won't go very far. That's when all the doubts keeps coming up inside. What did I do wrong? What have I done? Then you find fault with Bhagavad Gita, you'll find fault with Bhagavadam, you'll find fault with Krishna also. You'll start saying. But because rishis, the sages, they know the complicated situation. Remember this, Krishna is not something what you have to get from outside. He's already there inside. It's the ajnanam avidya inside I have to get rid of from there. And that ajnanam and avidya will increase if I get involved in karma more and more. Karmam creates this avidya inside. Avidya kama karma bhi. Who says? Kunti Devi says, isn't it? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravanasmaranarhani karishya nidikechanam. She says there, isn't it? So then avidya kama karma bhi. Avidya kamam karmam. That's how it is, the sequence. But on the one hand, we are thinking, if I do a lot of sadhana and if I do a lot of kamya karmam, it will balance it out. No. It won't balance it out. What will happen is, for all the sadhana you have done, you will get some result. For all the karma you have done, you have to go and suffer also that. With that. It doesn't balance each other. Balancing in this bank account, there is no balancing like that. Credit, debit doesn't get balanced. Credit you have to enjoy your credit, debit also you have to suffer. Both. That's how it is. Papa karma, punya karma, isn't it? You remember, sadhya prachina mangalaha. In the gopis case, remember, at one time, all their sinful activities got wiped out. And the pious activities also got wiped out. Mentions in the Bhagavadam in the 10th canto. So, here you can see that one hand, when we are engaged in sadhana, we don't create any more karma in that way. On the other hand, that existing karma vasana inside, what's already there, that has to go.
It has to get exhausted through the in channels, whichever way it is possible. So, not allowing anything new to get inside. While engaging in karma, this understanding should be there inside. What is that? I don't want anything from this. I don't want anything from this, no results from that. I'm not desiring anything. So, first thing is, fruitive activities, we have to get rid of. Fruitive activities from life. And at the same time, not to get trapped in any forbidden activities. These three things, Nishiddha Karmam, Kamya Karmam, Vihidha Karmam. Three, remember these three. Nishiddha Karmam, Kamya Karmam, Vihidha Karmam. In order to Nishiddha Karmam, we have to take care not to get trapped into it. Kamya Karmam, it has become a habit with us. And not to bring that into spiritual life, to Kamya Karmam. So, to free ourselves from the Kamya Karmam, the rishis have told us, engage in Vihidha Karmam. Lot of prescribed duties that's been given. Prescribed duties. Otherwise, does Krishna wants us to circumambulate 20 times, 30 times, 50 times in the temple? Is Krishna bothered whether we pay once obeisances or 10 times obeisances? No. The idea is that as much as possible, doing so many activities with the body so that new karma vasana don't create. That's the purpose behind it. So, from Kamya Karmam, only Vihidha Karmam, we have to come to the practice of Vihidha Karmam. From that Vihidha Karmam, Krishna is saying here, if you simply do in Vihidha Karmam, new karma vasana won't be created inside. New karma vasana will not be created inside. That's the advantage of Vihidha Karmam. So, and mind will lose its control over the body. Mind will lose its control over the body. So, and that is the greatest achievement. When the mind loses its control over the body, that is the greatest achievement. That's the greatest achievement. So, when that happens inside, when the mind loses its control over the body, what will happen? Inside, you will feel a great peace and a great relaxed mood inside in the mind. In the mind. And not only that, mind and all the nervous system, everything, there is an influence of this mind. In all our nervous system, the mind has a strong influence. So, whatever the mind says, it will do all kinds of things. Suppose the mind says, oh, you have to watch TV, it will go and watch TV. If it says to me, you have to get angry, it will get angry. It will get angry. So, everything depends on the mind. So, some people you can see, every day they will get angry at the same time. Have you noticed that? In some houses, if you observe carefully, you will see that. They'll get up in the morning, and in the morning few hours, it's a battlefield in the house. It's a battle going on there. He gets up, and there's a big fight there. And everybody angry, and the whole house is in real tension everywhere. And then about 8, 9 o'clock, everything gets quietened down. They all go in their way, and everything is peaceful after that. So, it becomes a habit like that. So, so, if you ask them why you are fighting, they don't have an answer for that. But it is like that. After that, just like the cats, they'll be sitting quietly after the fight is over. So, so why did that happen? Because of the mind. Without any reason, they will get angry and fighting each other. So, so in all the nervous system everywhere, mind has a strong influence. In order that that doesn't happen, that is why this Vihidha Karmam has been given. Vihidha Karmam has been given to us. Look, you can see so many things what we do is in that category, Vihidha Karmam, isn't it? Getting up after bathing, Mangalarati, and then chanting the holy name, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, then Japa time. So many things we structure like that in life every day, that will help to bring some that discipline into. That is a Vihidha Karmam. If you ask, what do the profit in attending Mangalarati? There is no answer to that, is there? If you ask, somebody ask you, what's the point in going for Mangalarati? Or what's the point in chanting for 2 hours? Or what's the point in reading Srimad Bhagavatam or attending Bhagavatam class? There is no answer to that. But the question, idea behind that is, it is a vihida karma. Vihida karma means some structured way to keep us out of fruitive activity. Out of fruitive activity. That's the idea behind it. So, so this influence of the mind through the nervous system in all the body, everything, that gets released from that by engaging in this activity, in this kind of spiritual activity. That is why this sadhana is all about. Sadhana is all there. Because you can see the point, Krishna is already present in everyone. There's not something going to come out from one day and Krishna is going to appear in front of me and thinking that, oh, till like that, my spiritual life has to go on like this, the way I'm doing at the moment. But that's not the way you have to look at spiritual life. Spiritual life, you look at this way. Krishna is already present there. That Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahmam, that Krishna who is present inside, Sachidanandam, he is not able to reveal himself because of the avidya inside. That is what is the problem there. So, so you can see in the I mentioned before also, in the many ancient temples, the system was that people spend a lot of time in these temples in the early hours in the morning, right up to 10-11 in the morning, and then again home or after prasadam or went and took some rest, and again afternoon hours they spend in the same way. So if you do this, Krishna is saying here, this Abhyasa Yoga, what will happen is, after a while, the mind will, at the moment it's not listening to anything, what I am saying, but later on, its grip on me, it will loosen up. It will loosen up. You have to look at the mind independent of you. You have to look at the mind in that way. At the moment, we are in the grip of the mind. But Krishna's point is, if this Abhyasa Yogam, what or Krishna says here, Athaidada Pashaktosi Kartumad Yogam Ashrida, Abhyasa Yabhi Asamartosi Malkarma Paramo Bhava Madartamai Karmani Kurvan Siddhim Avapsasi. So, that state, that when it loses its grip on us, the mind's grip on us, Madartham abhi karmani, and that stage, Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhi mavapsasi. In other words, you develop that siddhi. Kurvan siddhim avapsasi. Yeah? Kurvan siddhim avapsasi. You get that siddhi at that time. What is that siddhi? Siddhi is this. That mind lost its control on your body. You know, in our spiritual life, the biggest block is this mind and the body. Nothing else. Nobody else is our problem. Whole problem is this body and the mind. Nothing else. Whole problem is this body and this mind. And they together work. That's the problem. They cooperate very well with each other. One tells the other, the mind tells the body, don't get up today. Sleep well. Doctor says you need 10 hours sleep. Why don't sleep well? And take all the tablets what the GP has given you. And if you take it all, you will be happy. He tells the mind. Mind tells the body. Body says, yes, yes, mind is giving me the right advice. If the mind start advising the body, we are lost. We are doomed. That is why Krishna is saying like this. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. If you practice that, what Krishna says there, Abhyasepi asamartosi malkarma karamo bhavan madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi, he says there. What is that siddhim avapsisi? Siddhi is this, that mind loses its control over the body. Control over the body. How careful we have to be in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not always preaching. Preaching is okay, but so careful we have to know, to keep that always in that state, it requires this constant attention. Krishna's explanation of Bhakti Yogam is like this. This is the thing what Krishna has given importance in Bhakti Yogam. That he says here, Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Siddhi is nothing but like this, that mind going beyond a limit and start controlling the body or transgressing its limit is a wrong thing. And it's a wrong thing. So when the mind stops that, that is siddhi. That is the siddhi. Not that using the mind for some other purpose, but just to lose that influence of the mind on the body. Lose the influence of the mind on the body. When the mind start influencing, how does it happen? Then we think that, this body is a problem. Body's giving me so much trouble in this way, that way. And don't want to do anything. Because mind will keep preaching from inside. That's what I mentioned here. That madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Krishna is saying like that. So that madartham abhi karmani, you have to look at it this way. Nishiddha karmam, out. Then kamya karmam, also out. And then only do vihida karmam. That will help for the mind to lose its control over the body. You know what the problem is, isn't it? We have developed a lifestyle now. And we want adjust the spiritual life to adjust with this lifestyle what we have. That's not possible. We have to adjust the material life to the spiritual life, not the spiritual life to the material life. That's not possible. If we make it like that, then it won't work. It will go on like this, the way it is. And then that's why I say. So Krishna mentions here, madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. That siddhi is this, that the control of the mind on the body will go. Mind will go its way, body will go its way. That means this body will not be a burden. In other words, it will become very light in every way. You can do things much easier in spiritual life. Mind will not come on the way. Because if mind comes on the way, mind will say, don't get up so early, you're wasting time. Don't chant it today, you can chant on Janmashtami day, nice day. And you will go to the temple only on the Janmashtami day. The mind will tell you all these things. Don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, watch the TV now. Bhagavatam you can read later when you're after government puts a pension age up. So after retirement, that means if it is 65 today, tomorrow you read after 70 only you have to read Bhagavatam, not before than that. So it will go like this, everything. Mind will give you all the logic behind it and tells you not to do anything in spiritual life. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that madartham abhi karmani abhyasebi asamarthosi. Earlier, what is this abhyasa yogam? Abhyasa yogam is what Krishna referred to as chittavritti. Remember that in the last words? Atha chittam samadhadam. So last words refer to chittam. This words refer to karma. Yeah? See, the bhakti process is not so simple as we make of it. The last words, Krishna talked about chittam, which we have seen. In this verse, Krishna is saying, if chittam you can't do anything with, then play with karmam. That's the next thing you can do. Atha chittam samadhadam abhyasepi amasamartosi mal karma paramo bhava madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. In that case, what will happen? Kurvan siddhim avapsesi. You will develop the siddhi of the influence of the mind over the body. Mind over the body. This is saying, isn't it? Mind over matter or something. Whatever it is, I don't know. Basically, what Krishna is saying is, mind and the matter, the body, should not have any, mind should not influence this body to such a level. That's what he is saying here. So, you can see here, then Krishna says, siddhim avapsesi, we become siddhi. Siddhi means that more peace inside, and you will become more free, a freedom inside. You will experience that freedom inside. Now, there are vihida karmam, isn't it? Vihida karmam we talked about. There are special vihida karmam for different people according to their nature. So, apart from vihida karmam, we have got our swadharmam also. This swadharmam is for what? To exhaust the karma vasana which is already inside. Vihida karmam is not to create any new karma vasana.
You understand what I'm saying? That Swadharmam is to exhaust what is already there. That's where Swadharmam helps. Vihidakarmam helps not to generate any more karma vasana, new karma vasana. That's the idea behind it. So, what it means is that while engaging in Vihidakarmam, we have to know that Swadharmam and continuously work with that Swadharmam. This is where great difficulty now. Most of the people, you know, this issue of Varnashrama Dharmam, it is discussed so much in Ishkon also now. And it's going in all directions. Somebody giving some new ideas and somebody saying we need Varnashram. Somebody says we don't need Varnashram. This discussion is going on all the time. So, karmam that has come to us through Prarabdham. Some karmam has come. That's the only way you can look at it today. To Varnam and Ashram is not there now anymore. There is nobody following any Varnam or nobody following any Ashramam either. Because they have dropped down a lot from the standard. Generally, Bhagavad Gita is based on this Varnashrama Dharmam. Generally, everything in Bhagavad Gita is based on Varnashrama Dharmam. But Bhagavata Dharmam is not too concerned about Varnashrama Dharmam. When Bhagavata Dharmam was introduced, it's not too concerned about Varnashrama Dharmam. But at the same time, the Prarabdham brings some karmam in this world. Now, even while engaging in that Prarabdha karmam also, if one can develop, make that Prarabdha karmam into a Bhagavata Dharmam, then it will release him, the karmam will get rid of the existing vasanas inside. It's a question of understanding Krishna consciousness properly. Bhagavata Dharmam explains that Karodi yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanaye di samarpayami. Isn't it? Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava pragrade sobhaval. So any karmam due to prarabdham that has come through us, if it is performed in such a way that existing karma vasanas inside gets released, how will that happen? When karmam is executed in complete surrender to Krishna. That means whatever karmam is happening, that karmam is happening through this body. It is Krishna's desire that it should happen through this. Good or bad, what results will come should not become a matter of any concern or anxiety about that. So, always whether the salary goes up or salary goes down, whatever it may be, or whatever happens at work, people may say that your performance was no good, and or the assessment didn't get out very well. All these kinds of things goes on, isn't it? Even in that case, if the decision is made that this karmam is not done for me, but on the other hand, Krishna has put me into this situation and Krishna is making me do this work, and and I'm doing that in that way, surrendered way, executing that karmam. And that is also Krishna's desire. So whichever karmam Krishna has put us into it, and to take that state of consciousness and to work in that way. For example, just like the cats, what they do? They take their kitten, they bites them and takes and carries it somewhere and leave the kitten there. And the kitten sits there and cries there. And when it cries there, the mother comes and gives the milk to it wherever it has put the babies there. So similarly, wherever Krishna has put us in whatever situation, just do that and leave it like that. And that way to engage in karmam. That is what that prarabdha karmam, how it will help to release the karma vasana, what is already inside. That's why Krishna says, madartham abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So whatever madartham abhikarmani, whatever karmam you are doing doesn't matter. Do that in this surrendered state. Madartham abhikarmani kurvan. That case Krishna says siddhim avapsyasi. So normally why do we engage in karmam? Most of us, our karmam is only to make a living in this world. Isn't to survive here. Or for the sake of the family and all that. So in fact, if we think in that way,
Actually, it is not proper to say that it is for maintaining the family either, because if we understand it in the proper way, Krishna is saying that karma will get purified. In other words, not to think that I'm working for maintaining the family. Not to think that I know, because it's so deep rooted, it's very difficult to get it out from inside. But if we think this way, that Krishna has put me in this karma, and whatever karma, the results are coming from that. If we are conscious of the fact that it's only helping me to release my karma vasana from inside rather than maintaining the family. It may happen in that process, family may get maintained. That's another thing. But higher purpose in that karma is to release the karma vasana from inside, not maintain the family. That conviction inside, that's more important. That understanding is more important in karma. Otherwise, if you link that with maintaining the family, then the result will become the priority. There will be always lamentation about the result. Result may not have. That's why whole karma is such a complex thing. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is, what does he say about karma? He says there, in one of the verses, he says that even gahana karmano gadi. Gahana karmano gadi, Krishna is saying. To make a statement by Krishna about karma in such a way means, it means a lot, isn't it? When Krishna has to say about karma, gahana karmano gadi, he says nobody understands this karma. He says even learned people don't understand karma. What to talk about? Because the gadi, or the direction in which karma flows, gahanam, it's so deep, he says. Because karma is such a force that's linking everyone in this world together. All of us are linked through that karma in this world. So that's why Krishna is saying gahana karmano gadi. So to free ourselves from this karma, Krishna has given this karma yogam process, and to made us aware also the damage we are doing to ourselves through forbidden activities, through fruitive activities. And to wipe out that, two ways Krishna is talking to us. One, he says through vihita karmam, not to create any more karma vasana. One, through the process of this Bhagavata dharmam and karma yogam, to wipe out all the karma vasana, what is already accumulated inside. This is all a part of that process. All right? Part of that process. So therefore, coming to this, vihita karmam, it's not difficult to understand. We do all the prescribed duties as much as possible, vihita karmam, in such a way that selfishness from inside goes away. That's the idea behind it. Selfishness is very deep-rooted inside. Therefore, so many hours of this vihita karmam, from morning getting up to as many hours as possible, chanting, deity worship, all the other processes, Bhagavadam, like this, so many hours. And then when it comes to swadharmam, which is come to us as prarabdham now in this body, because that's what prarabdha karmam is. In order that prarabdha karmam is an outlet, is a channel for the karma vasana that is already inside, to get it exhausted through that. So in order to do that, Krishna is saying even that prarabdha karmam should become what is known as karma yogam or bhagavata dharmam. When it is done in that state, means you know the principle, karmanyeva adhikarasye ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma balahedubur ma de sangus swakarmani, the four karma sutrams in the Bhagavad Gita. That result and karmam has no connection. That is the first. Because if you want to advance on the spiritual path, then we may have to ignore a few things of the laws of the material world. Because normally our principle is, if I work, I should get the result. And if I don't get the result, I get upset. Is it not? In the karmi life, it is like that. In the office or factory or anywhere people are working, they want the results according to the work. I've done so much. Where is my result? You'll say. Isn't it? Krishna is saying that these two things, if you start linking, then it's not karma yogam anymore. It's not karma yogam anymore. Ma karma bhalahe drabo. Because Krishna's point is, karmam and the result, they have no connection. They have no link between the two. At the same time, you can't stay without karmam also. Akarmani is not possible.
So, prarabdha karma, turning that into karma yogam or bhagavata dharmam, that's what Krishna has spoken here. All this is expected from us. We make bhakti yogam too simple sometimes. When you read this chapter, you can see bhakti yogam is not all that simple as we think about it. We think we can do for a few hours chanting in the morning, take an initiation or done some deity worship. We have done everything in bhakti process. That's what we carry the impression with us. Is it not? And then we do rest of the time, oh, I'm working for my family, I'm working for my this thing. No, all that has to be overhauled completely to fit in with these options what Krishna has given. Madartam abhyasepi asamarthosi kartam mad yogam ashrita madkarma paramo bhava madartam abhikarmani kurven siddhim avapsyasi. Krishna is saying you will develop this siddhi inside. That is the advantage of that. That's what he is saying there. So, similarly, remember this, that strong attachment to the result of the work, that's a very difficult thing to wipe out from inside. Is it not? Remember, there was one this from Pune, Muktananda Ashram, there was a sannyasi from there. He was a person who has taken, understood Bhagavad Gita in that right understanding. He was traveling and one day he went to one wealthy zamindar's house asking for some food. He walked in and the zamindar was there in the front of the house. He saw this person and saw him well strong, well built and looks very fit to do work. So when he came and asked the work, asked for food, he felt a little bit upset with him. He said, "You got such a good health and you don't want to do any work, you are coming and asking for food," he said. So he said that, when he said that, that if you want, I'll give you some work, and you do this work, and then I'll give you some food, he said. So there was a lot of wood stocked there, and he told him that you cut all that wood, good for cooking, in the small, small pieces of wood, and a few hours job it was. He took the axe, stood there and cut the whole wood, which was a big cartload, and made it into small pieces, nicely stacked them up and left the axe there and walked away from there. So the zamindar, the owner, he saw that. He walked away without asking for any labor charges or food, anything. He walked away. So he thought this is something unusual, which never happens, isn't it? So he went after him and told him that, "You have done so much work. Why did you walk away? I wanted to give you the money for it, what you have done. Because I believe in that," he said. "You should work and then you should earn your living. That's the right way to do it." And he told him to come back and to take some food. That man said, the Swamiji says to him, that wherever I work, I don't ask for the food. Wherever I ask for the food, I don't do any work. In other words, my eating has nothing to do with my work. This is the principle he followed very strongly. And that is one of the four sutram of the Karma Yoga. That karmam and the bhalam, they have no direct link. He was establishing that. He has developed that consciously. He has done that himself. That I won't work anywhere, that if I work only then you will pay me. That I don't want that in my life, he said. He didn't want to cultivate that. And when I want some food, I'll go and ask somewhere. And if they give me food, I'll eat it. But it doesn't have to be linked with my work, he said. He was trying to teach this man a lesson of this principle of Karma Yoga. So similarly, you can see this, that it's a very difficult thing. If you tell someone that you have to work without, you know, linking with the result, that's the most difficult thing for most of the people in this world, isn't it? So, but sometimes you'll see that as long as in this world, to survive in this world, sometimes my mind will mention this, that karma will get purified. Karma will get purified. So in order that the karma to develop into karma yoga in that process, karma in that process. When the karma and the result is very closely linked, it will develop false ego inside very strongly. It will develop the false ego inside. So
But you can see in this world, many people who just work in this world enough to live in this world, just to eat and sleep. That's all. Nothing more than that. So one thing is there that they will say, you will notice if you observe them carefully, that they don't have much bigger plans in life. And therefore, there is not much of a false ego also. So basically, Krishna is saying here that whatever way you deal with the karma, if it is ultimately, it develops yogam in a person. That's the main thing. Yogasthiti, that yoga state has to develop. And that is why Krishna mentions here that so accept that, and without allowing that to bind ourselves in this world, engage in karma. Karma, when the results come from the karma, what is required for maintaining this body, one is allowed to have it. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, Sri Narada Maharshi says what you are allowed to take from your karma. There is a verse there. Seventh canto, 14th chapter. Sri Narada Maharshi's words is very interesting there. What he says there. He mentions, if you look in the 14th chapter, verse 8 in the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira is asking, this is about a householder. Grihastha edam padavim, the first verse, vidhina yena chanjasa yadi deva hrishe bruhi madrisho grihamotadhi. This is Yudhishthira's question. My dear Sri Narada Maharshi says, I am a householder, and therefore I am not very intelligent, he says. And how can he reach the state of perfection in this life without too much effort? And can you tell me that? And Sri Narada Maharshi gives the answer. 2, 3, 4, so many verses. And there, if you look in the 8th verse, he says, Yavad Briyeda Jadharam Taval Sattvam Hi Dehinam Adhyam Yobhimanyeda Sasteno Dandamarhadi, he says. Yavad Briyeda Jadharam Taval Sattvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhimanyeda Sasteno Dandamarhadi. What does that mean? It means Yaval Briyeda Jadharam. What is necessary to fill the belly, he can earn. He is allowed to earn. And to maintain this body in this world, you need a shelter, clothes, things like that. Taval Sattvam Hi Dehinam. So, Yaval Briyeda Jadharam Taval Sattvam Hi Dehinam. He can, only that much he is allowed in this world to accept. And if he acts Adhigam Yobhi Manyeda, if he takes anything more than that and he acquires wealth than that, Sasteno Danda Marhadi, he should be beaten up. He says, he should be beaten up. Danda Marhadi, you have to give him Danda. That's what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira. This is in relationship with the householder. Sadacharana name, that chapter, you will see. Yaval Briyeda Jadaram Taval Sattvam Hidehinam Adhigam Yobhimanyeda Sasteno Dandamarhadi. He is to be, Dandam has to be given to him. It says like that. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, if he acquires more than that, what will happen? Pride will develop inside. Ahankaram will develop inside. So, that's what Krishna says here. If you do in such a way, he says, that in this way what Naramashi has spoken there, Madartham abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. In this way Krishna says, through Abhyasa Yogam, Krishna has spoken about the way to realize the truth. After saying this, first thing, if you surrender, Krishna says, that you can elevate yourself. Krishna also mentioned in earlier, if you remember, earlier he mentioned there, isn't it? Before he talked about chittam, before he talks about karmam, Krishna mentions prior to that, that in that earlier verses, that what did he say? Edu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneiva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. There is a verse, sixth verse, isn't it? So there it is sharanagati more. There it is more sharanagati. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneiva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. In that verse. And such people, Krishna mentioned, teshamaham samudhartha. In the verse 7, he said, I'll take care of them. And then he mentioned also, mayeva mana athalsu mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva adha urdhunna samshaya. All those things. After that, he mentioned about chittam, how to sort the chittam out. When that is not possible, Krishna gave the next option of how to sort the karmam out. Isn't it? That is the 10th verse. Abhyasepi asamarthosi ma karma paramo bhava ma dartamavi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Do you follow this flow of this way, how Bhagavad Gita is explaining that? Yeah. So, abhyasam is not possible, then karmam, sort the karmam. Sort out the karmam. Even if you do that, satuna will develop and knowledge will operate inside, he mentions there, isn't it? So many things Krishna has spoken here. And also mentioned that, absorb the mind and the intelligence in me. And if it is not possible, engage in abhyasa yogam. And abhyasa is also not possible, engage all the karmam specially for me. If that is not so possible, also not possible, offer the results of the karmam to me. And that is the next verse.
Adhai dadapyashaktosi kartam mad yogam ashritah sarva karma bhalatyagam tadakuru yat almavan adhai dadapyashaktosi kartam mad yogam ashritah sarva karma bhalatyagam tatakuru yatatmavan.
Now, adhaidabi ashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashridaha sarvam karma bhalatyagam yatakuru tatatmavan. Krishna is saying, first, what did he do? Now, let's go back into the, again, back to this chapter beginning. In the end of the 11th chapter, Krishna spoke about after seeing that universal form, Krishna said, Arjuna, naham vedarna tapasa nadanena na cheje. Why I'm repeating this is so that you also repeat it yourself and get yourself very clear on these things. So that it doesn't come back later on, another question comes after going home, oh, this is not working, then that's not right, this is not right. No, it should not happen. This is very clear, it should be inside. These verses, that flow of that. End of 11th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna that naham vedarna davasa nadanena chejaya shake evam vidodrishtum drashtavanasimam yada. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, not by studying Vedam, not by tapasa, not by charity, not by performing sacrifices, you will be able to see me the way you are seeing me now. Then he says, bhaktya to ananya shaktya, ananya bhakti. That's the ananya bhakti we have discussed before, isn't it? What ananya bhakti means. Only through ananya bhakti, aham evam, you can see me as I am now. Aham idor jnadum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum. Three things he mentioned there. You will know me, you will see me, and you will enter into me. He says, jnadum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha. With full realization, you will enter into me. Praveshtum cha parandava, he says. And then finally he said, mal karma krada mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. He said, then do everything for me. Mal karma, mal parama, fully surrender to me. Mal bhakta, become my devotee. Sangavarjita, break all the connection, attachment to this world. Mal karma mal bhakta nurvaira sarvabhudeshu, and no enemy towards any living entity in this world. If you live like that, he says, you'll come back to me. He closed the chapter like that. Krishna closed that 11th chapter in that way. Immediately after that, Arjuna got the doubt in his mind. What was the doubt? Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade ejapi acharam avyaktam teshange yogavitama. Which one is better out of the two? Which two? One, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade. One who is engaged in upasana, in Krishna consciousness, fully surrendered unto you, and practicing Krishna consciousness in that way. Or the person whom Krishna has spoken in the second, third and fourth chapter, where a position of a jnani he has spoken. You remember that? How great jnani is. In so many chapters he spoke about that. Jnani tu almaiva me matam. So many says, Krishna says there, isn't it? Jnana vanmam prabhadyade. So many places Krishna talks about jnani. He said jnani is the best one. Or this person whom you have spoken to me about bhakti, who is the better one? Says, without answering Krishna that question directly, Krishna answered that question saying in this way: Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam avyaktahi gedur dukham dehavadvira virpade. Prior to that, Krishna also mentioned that shraddhaya parayo bedasthemi yuktatamamada. Arjuna, this process or that process, what's important is Shraddha in a person. That's what makes him to the final destination, takes him to the destination. Who has got Shraddha? Then he said, after that, those who are attached to this world and those who are very much attached to the body, for them that process of Jnanamargam is difficult. He left it like that. And then he came to this point that if that's not possible for others, he mentioned in that next verse, he said, Edu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. That verse is the, which is nothing but Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam Krishna has spoken. And he also mentioned there one or two verses to support that. Teshamaham samudharta. I will look after that person who is following this Bhagavata Dharmam process. That is the next one, two verses. Mayam Teshamaham Samudharta Mrityusamsara Sagarad Bhavamina Chiradparta Mayaveshada Chedasam. And the verse after that Krishna says, Mayeva Mana Atatsva Mai Buddhi Niveshaya Nivasishisi Mayeva Ada Urdhuna Samshaya. Those two verses are in relationship with that Bhagavata Dharma, what was spoken in the verse number 6. So 7 and 8 was gone into that. Then Krishna says, if that is not possible, sort out your chittam. Next option. Sort out your chittam. Ata chittam samadhadum. He says, Nashanknoshi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato. So, sorting out that chittam is that verse 9. The verse 9. How to sort the chittam out. And then, if that's not possible, in the next, Krishna is saying, in the verse 10, Abhyasepi asamartosi, sort out your karmam then. Mat karma varamo bhava, madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. You will reach that. That we have seen now, discussed today. We have discussed that today. So, but if that is also not possible, then what is the next thing? That is the next verse. Adhaidada pashaktosi, kartam madhyogama ashrida, sarva karma balatyagam, tada kuru yata kuru tathal mavan. So it's 4 o'clock. We'll stop there. We'll have a break. So, first, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade ejapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. Krishna say, Arjuna asked this question. First question was whether always surrendered satata yuktaye upasana, one who is performing upasana to you, is that good? Or ejabi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogatma. That process where one engaged in the process of cultivation of spiritual knowledge, aksharam, akshara brahmam, avyaktam, unmanifested, is that process better? Or in other words, practically in a much more general language, you can say whether the jnana margam is better or the bhakti margam is better. It was in a very, very simple way, if you ask that question, put it like that. Answer to that, Krishna, without answering that question direct,
Krishna said, in this or that doesn't matter, Shraddha is more important. Shraddhaya parayo vedasteme yukta. My opinion, Krishna says, Shraddhaya parayo vedasteme yukta tamo madha, he says. One who has got Shraddha, he is doing the best, he said. That's how he answered that question. Then he mentioned edu aksharam. Then slowly in the next 2-3 verses, he spoke about the process of jnanamargam. Yetu aksharam anirdesham avyaktam parivasade sarvatragamam achindyam ja kudastam achalam dhruvam san niyamyendegramam sarvatra samabuddhayate prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhudahite radaha. All those verses are reference to that jnanamargam. Then he also mentioned there klesho. Then he said, this process is difficult for those who are absorbed in this world and who are absorbed in the body. Isn't it? Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavadbhiravapyate. With that one verse, Krishna closed that process there, giving us an understanding that it is a difficult process. It's not easy for everybody. Then what did he do after that? Yedu sarvani karmani, isn't it? That's the next one.
Yeah.
Yedu sarvani karmani, Bhagavata dharmam. We've gone through that many times now. Krishna spoke Bhagavata dharmam there. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. And if you follow Bhagavata dharmam, Krishna says, tesha maham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagara. All that words, bhavami najral partham ayyaveshada chedasam. And then he also said, mayyeva mana adhatsu mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayyeva adha urdhvam na samshaya. All that thing he spoke about that. So first jnanamargam, then Bhagavata dharmam. After that he said, if that is also not possible, then do this. What is that? Sort the chittam out first. Sort out the chittam. Atha chittam, if I say, he mentions there that atha chittam samadhadum, that verse, how to deal with the chittam inside, because chittam is the problem. So atha chittam samadhadum na shanknoshi mai sthiram abhyasa yogam, gave the solution to the problem of the chittam is abhyasa yogam, practice abhyasa yogam, he said, and he spoke about abhyasa yogam. Then he said, if abhyasa yogam is not possible, then abhyase bhi asamarthosi mat karma paramo bhava. Sort out your karmam then. If abhyasam, that's not possible, then sort out the karmam. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhyama vapsyasi. Now here, one thing you have to remember, that as Krishna is going on giving these options, suppose you are engaged in this verse number 9 with this atha chittam samadhadum. For such a person, karma will not be a problem. He is not disturbed by karma. He is because in his state, karma will not be an issue for him. He would have acquired sufficient purity inside that karma will not become a block for him. That you have to remember. That's why when he coming down in this ladder, certain things will leave you at that time. Here, from verse 9, that's why when he came to verse 10, Krishna says, you could not deal with the karma, with the chittam then. Then in that case, the right thing to do is, abhyasebhi asamarthosi mal karma bharamo bhava. Try to deal with the karma. Through karma you approach me. You can come to me through the process of karma yoga. That is what is spoken in that. Madartham avikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Krishna says, isn't it? Abhyase api asamartha asi ashaktaha. If you are helpless about your abhyasa yoga, in that case, tarhi mal karma paramo bhava. Do everything for me. Madartham mal karma tal paramo mal karma pradhanam ityartaha. There the importance is, I will do everything for Krishna. Only pleasing Krishna is the goal. Doesn't matter. Then, abhyasena vina, without any practice, if you keep on doing, madartham avi karmani, if you keep on doing things for me, kevalam kurvan siddhim, you will make that perfection. How?
because Sattva Shuddhi Yoga Jnana Prapti Varena Avapsyasi. What will happen is Sattugunam will build up inside. Sattugunam will build up inside, and that purification will develop, take you into Jnana Margam. It will bring knowledge inside, and you will progress on the path of knowledge. Jnana Prapti Varena, Prapti Varena Avapsyasi. And then also you will become perfect in that way. It is after that, he mentions there, that if that is also not possible, then why, that is what Krishna is saying here. First of all, he said, if you if all this karma you should perform for me, if that's not possible, do your karma in such a way and give all the results to me. That's the next verse. അതൈതാത പശക്തോസി കർത്തുമ്മദ്യോഗമാശ്രിത സർവകർമ്മഫലത്യാഗം യഥാകുരു തദാത്മവാൻ ഇസിനിറ്റ് യഥാകുരു തദാത്മവാൻ ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഈസ് ഇഫ് യു ഡു കർമ്മം റിസൾട്ട് വിൽ ബി ദയർ സം റിസൾട്ട് വിൽ ബി ദയർ ഇസിനിറ്റ് സോ ഓഫർ ദ റിസൾട്ട്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ബിക്കോസ് അവർ ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ ലിവ്സ് ഇൻ ദ റിസൾട്ട് സി Each of these verses, if you think through, you will notice that the whole idea is to free yourself from the upadhi. The Abhyasa Yogam Krishna talks about to free yourself from the mind. Then Krishna spoke about the other process to free yourself from the body. Now, how to free yourself from the false ego? That's what this verse is. So upadhi means what? Shariram, body, mind, then the ahankaram, intelligence, all these are upadhis in us, isn't it? So how to free yourself from upadhi, that is an important thing. So where does this ahankaram lives? Ahankaram lives in the result. Result and ahankaram is very close, is it not? If the result is very good, ahankaram goes up, shoots up. The result is very bad, you become very... Ahankaram goes away a lot. All happens in a very subtle level inside, is it not? I mean, everybody knows these things. It isn't required. Only thing you may not have thought about it, but Krishna is more forthright telling us that this is how it happens. So, in the result, Ahankaram, false ego, lives in that result. The only way to get rid of the false ego, what is the way? Whatever what you got from that, use it for a purpose. Which will for Krishna's pleasure. For Krishna's pleasure. That way Ahankaram won't bother you. Ahankaram won't come in there. That is the easiest way to get rid of that. And that is also, that means giving the results what has come in that way, giving for a Krishna conscious activity in such a way, that is called a sacrifice. It's a yajnam it is, isn't it? Otherwise, if you do it for the sake of publicity, to get the name in the newspaper, or get a photo on the newspaper, or the name in the newspaper, or television, not for that purpose, because that's not the process anyway. That's not the process in that way. So, Krishna mentions here, Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Here, Krishna is saying karma bhalatyagam, the results that has come. Earlier, in the last verse, Krishna mentions there, in that verse 10, how to, the verse in abhyasebhi asamartosi mal karma paramo bhava. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So, there in that verse, performing all karma for Krishna. That is the option there. Doing everything for Krishna. If that's not possible, adhaidabhi ashaktosi kartummad yogam ashridaha sarva karma bhalatyagam yadakura tadalmavan. Sarva karma bhalatyagam. Any results that's coming from the karma should be given, offered to Krishna. All the results should be offered to Krishna. That does not mean that you are not allowed to have anything. You are allowed to have for, as far as I mentioned in the 7th canto of the Bhagavadam, Jadharam can fill the belly, that's allowed, and a place to sleep.
nothing else. That's what's allowed.
Yavad Bhriyeda Jadaram.
That's all allowed. Narada Maharshi is saying there, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to sleep. You can have a place to sleep and you have something to eat. Not anything else. Otherwise, no.
So, Madartham Vigram Krishna says here, giving that results, only one who has a very good control on the senses and the mind can do that. Isn't it?
This one, this option, is only for those who have a good control of the mind and good control of the senses. In other words, that he has to have very clear understanding of this, Krishna consciousness in this way, like in the Bhagavad Gita. Only then he can do it properly. So, that is why Krishna uses the word yathātmavān. You see that word there?
That.
Tatakuru yathātmavān, he says.
Why yathātmavān?
Because that karma yoga is taking shelter, but at the same time, the control of the mind. Because otherwise it is not possible. You tell someone that you give all your results to Krishna and sacrifice everything like that. He has to be pretty good in his conviction about that, isn't it? Otherwise, it's not possible. When
somebody says, adaidada pashaktosi,
because you are doing this after you couldn't do the other things. And that's how you're doing. Even for doing this, Krishna is saying that Atmavan, you have to be so fixed on the understanding of the soul. Unless you have absolute faith in this soul's existence and self-realization, it may not be possible to do that. Because if you are identifying with the body at that time, you will still think that, why should I give everything to Krishna like that? What is the need? I'll give something to Krishna. That way thoughts will go.
But here, adhaidada ashaktosi kartumman yogam ashada. Everything should become a yogam. That's our idea behind it. So, the sarva karma bhalatyagam yatakuru tatatmavan. Tatakuru yatatmavan.
Atha puna etad abhi yad uktam mal karma paramatvam tat kartum ashaktaha asi madhyogam ashrito mai kriya karmanani karmani sanyasya yad karanam tesham anushtanam saha madhyogaha tam ashritaha san sarvakarma bhalatyagam sarvesham karmanam bhalasanyasam tadaha anandaram kuru yadatmavan samyata chittaha san ityartaha. Means, if you could not do the karmam for me, all the karmam for me, and take this yoga process, what is that? That the results of your karmam, you perform in such a way, all the activities of the senses of action in us. Because karmam, how do we do? With the senses. Senses of action. Karma, karma indriyam, isn't it? Karma indriyam. And continuously offer the results of your action of the senses. Sacrifice that and control your mind and be situated like that. Idanim sarva karma phalatyagam staudhi. Then from now after this, so Krishna mentions there to do it that way. So we have now various options. But you will look at all the options and you will say none of them is possible. That will be the, because we are what we are. So we are not going to change. We want to bring Bhagavad Gita to our level. And that's where all the difficulty is. Is it not? So, what to do? Bhagavad Gita is saying this. That's all we can say now. How much we can take it on board, that's up to the individual. Everybody is different. Some people are more in tune with Bhagavad Gita. Some people are less. That depends on the person's conviction about it, is it not? But the choices are these, what we have seen so far. And all of them is bhakti. That's how we have to understand. All of these different options is bhakti. That's all bhakti. Bhakti yoga for Krishna is concerned, this is what is bhakti means. Any of these options. So, unless one has good control of the senses, good control of the mind,
only then he can sacrifice things like that. That's why Krishna mentions there Atmavan, isn't it? Now, after saying this, Krishna is going to analyze them now. Analyze them. Many sadhanas, Krishna, the sadhana for each one of them, Krishna has spoken. For each process, is it not? How to control the chittam, Krishna has spoken the abhyasa yogam. How to control the karmam, Krishna has spoken that process also. And mayeva mana adhatsva, may buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhunna samshaya. How to, what will happen with that? So, so after saying this, Krishna is saying here that that sankalpam what we create inside, one has made this decision that the goal of life is ultimately self-realization. Intelligence has made that decision inside. If it is like that, wherever you are with your body, in whichever place you are, and with your heart, you will be in Krishna. That's the most important thing. Body may be anywhere, it doesn't matter. But nivasishyasi mayeva, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva, Krishna says. It does not matter what the body is doing, but if you are living in Krishna, that is more important. Not just on a lip service, huh? Not that way. When Krishna says nivasishyasi mayeva means that in genuinely you are in Krishna. In other words, that body does things what it has to do in this world. So nivasishyasi, and for example, you can see here, Prahlada, for example, if you take Prahlada's case, Hiranyakashipu locked him up in the jail-like thing. He gave him a lot of trouble, isn't it? So what Prahlada was still in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? That is what that word means. Nivasishyasi mayeva. So many, many devotees, Krishna has put them through this difficulty, through this difficulty. So even nowadays you can see, people who are fixed in spiritual life, how much they get tortured all around the world. Seriously. In, like in the Tibet, you know how they have to go through, the Buddhist monks there, how much they have sacrifice they have to make. And there, because the communist regime in China, they don't believe in any of these things. So they have given them so much trouble. In the, you must have heard about, read about these things, what happens there. So what is surprising is there that some of those monks who have come out from that Buddhist viharas, from their Tibet is full of them, when they come out, they are saying there that what we have normally would not have experienced in that life in the Buddhist monastery, we have started experiencing now with these difficulties what they are encountering there. Some of the things what they happen there is pretty heavy. Some of them self-immolation, burned themselves, because the regime, they have gone so heavily against them. Tibet was at one time a very peaceful place. There was not a lot of material activities, many. They follow a different, philosophically different, that may be another issue. But the Shastram, the word Tibet is known as Trivishtavam. Trivishtavam is the actual name of Tibet, which has become later Tibet. But due to this, political changes, what happens all over the world, and some countries suddenly become so much powerful and they start invading, like that somehow Tibet has become a part of China now, and Chinese government has put a lot of pressure on Tibet. Dalai Lama fled away from there. We're not in just talking about the philosophy now. I'm just saying here that how, when you engage in such commitment in spiritual life, you will get such opposing power from the nature, from the government, like that. It happens to them. And they are mentioning here that many realizations of these Tibetan monks when they were locked up in prison by the government. The government locked them up in the prison. And they have started writing their experiences in the prison of what they are going through under the influence of the distress what they were experiencing, how they were prevented. Because if you look at some of the monks' life there, it is very, very simple. They live very austere in their conditions. Naturally, that shows that they have good realizations. There's no question about that. They may not have come to follow the Vedic process completely, although Buddhist principles are practically very much based on the Vedic injunctions. Buddha himself has come to that process of realization through the Vedic process only. But because the Buddhist monks who have taken this seriously and sufficient vairagyam renunciation inside, and the Buddhist teachings are very much in line with the Upanishads, except that certain places Buddhism did not accept the authority of the Vedas, therefore they broke away from this. But whatever it is, the austerity and penances they perform in the Tibet, and they are saying when they were put into more torture by the regime, and inside them prison they had to spend their time, they were prevented from doing their sadhana, whatever they were doing. And they have come up with certain good revelations about the realizations inside the prison. And they mentions there that what they have understood there, that when they get beaten up by the Chinese soldiers, and many of them, they are saying that they got a much clear vision of spiritual life in the prison when they were tortured by the Chinese army, whatever they were told to do. So they were saying, what we did not get in the monastery, we got it in the prison. What they didn't realize in the monastery, they got it in the prison. So, so you can see here, even they may complain about the Chinese army, what they have done to them, and so many things, what's going on in this world. We will criticize the Chinese army very well, badly. But still, what they are saying here, that it has actually increased our strength and conviction in spiritual life much strongly while in the prison. The bhikshus are saying like that. So even that locking up in the prison, they are saying it became favorable for us in our spiritual life. The monks have written about it, the Tibetan monks. And if you read about it, there's so much to read about their the monks and their system of, you know, some of the monks are very committed to their convictions, and they live that life, and very austere life, and such austere conditions where they live. So, so this has happened all the time. Throughout the history, if you look, you will see the same thing happen. Wherever the body is there, if you are separated from the body, even the body will go through. What can they torture you? They can torture you with the body only body level. But inside, if the mind is separated from the body to a large extent, if you have performed austerities and penances, if you lock him up inside, he will not feel as miserable as a person who has lived a very comfortable life in this world. Isn't it? Suppose you have lived a very comfortable, materially comfortable situation in this life. Suppose the government puts you into prison and torture you there. You will feel the misery very much. Because why? Because we have strong identification with the body at that time. Whereas these monks who came from the Buddhist monasteries in Tibet, they had fairly good austerities and penances in their normal life. So when the Chinese government put them in the prison and gave them, tortured them and gave them a lot of pain, they are saying that we had better understanding of spiritual life now inside the prison. It has helped us more, and they were thanking the government for what they have done to them. That's how they were. It just shows that understanding inside. Yeah? And many of them were very young people. They were not even so older members also. So, so in the among the Nayanmars, there is this history of Appar. Appar was one of the famous Nayanmars. Appar, Sambandar, Sundarar, and Manikavachagar. So this Appar was given at that time. Jainism was very popular at that time, and the Jains, it was a similar to a situation like their intention was to get more people into their group. This is how it happened. They wanted everybody to be in there. In that process, they managed to influence the government also at that time. Jainism spread all over the country in India at that time. And then the many kingdoms were under the Jains' control. Jainism was spread so strongly that many kings were under their control, and through them they give trouble to those who followed the Vaidika tradition, Vaidika Samskaram. In that way it was given. Then Apar was actually pushed into a room which was fully stocked with this lime, which is used for whitewashing the buildings and things like that. And he says here, Apar mentions about that later, that even in that state it was not a problem. He says here that when you have this lime stocked, and when the lime is hot water they pour into this lime, it burns and creates a lot of heat in the room. He says, I was not experiencing that heat very much. Why? Nivasishyasi mayeva. He was not in the prison. He says that they can only give trouble to the body, not to the inside, that separation from inside. And Jnana Sambandhar mentioned the same thing in one instance. He says that people warned him of the influence of the different planets. When Jnana Sambandhar was going to visit the king at that time, and because Jains wanted to actually to this, in Shaiva Siddhantam, these four saints, there are 64 Nayanmars like we have Alwars in the Vaishnava tradition. So these Nayanmars, they were 64 of them, out of them these four major ones, they were the ones who were propagating Shaiva Siddhantam in a big level. So Jains were against them, and Jains wanted to give as much trouble to them as possible. And in that process, what happened was that Jnana Sambandhar was only a young boy, 3-year-old boy, who was given the milk by Sri Parvati. He got that knowledge inside, and he grew up in that way. He left this world by 16 years old. He left this world. Before that, he was invited by the king to have a debate with the Jains in the kingdom. At that time, whoever ruled in that time. So before going for that debate, people told him that certain planets are not in favor of you in your, because astrology was also followed very much then. So he says there that Jnana Sambandhar's reply, no planets can come against spiritual knowledge. He's so clear about it. Says knowledge, this planets and all, their influence is as far as the body is concerned, not as far as the soul is concerned. So he was talking about that. So he says to him that Sunday is good, Monday is good, Tuesday is good, Wednesday is good, Thursday is good, Friday is good, Saturday is good, he says. Plus he says, in addition to that, he says all the nine planets, he says, because normally there's nine planets they consider. They're all, he says, none of them, Rahu and Ketu, the two other planets apart from the seven. These 7 days are seven planets, isn't it? Starting from Sunday to Saturday. So those seven planets plus Rahu and Ketu, the two other planets, none of these nine planets can do anything to me, he says. So clear in their self-realization. That's what he was talking about it. So similarly, you will see this in many personalities like Mirabhai, for example. You remember how Mirabhai was tortured, don't you? That he was married, and then she became so Krishna conscious. At that stage, Meera says here that they even tried to torture her, sent a poisonous snake towards her and things like that. And also poison from the snake was offered to her. And she took that, chanted the holy name, drank the poison and started dancing, Mirabhai. So all this is recorded, this history of Mirabhai. And there's a whole history you can read about Mirabhai, plenty of information there. So she says there, that is all because why they were not affected. Nivasishyasi mayeva, they lived in Krishna, they lived in Krishna. So in the body they are not there, they are not in the body. Only if you are in the body it can give you some trouble, but they are not in the body. Ada urdham na samshaya. Krishna says if our mind and intelligence is fixed in Krishna, so the mind and intelligence is fixed in Krishna, then it cannot happen. That is why you will see in the In the Shivananda Lahari also there is a verse about that which mentions that manaste padabje nivasaduvaja stotrapanidho karau karau chabhyarchayam shudirabhi katha karnanavidho tavadhyane buddhir naina yugalam murti vibhave paragrandhan kairva paramashivajani paramatam.
So when the mind is absorbed in Krishna, in glorifying Krishna and in worshipping hands in engaged in the worship of the deity, ears are engaged in hearing about the Krishna's pastimes, and the intelligence is absorbed in meditating on the form of Krishna, and the eyes are busy in seeing the Krishna's form in the temple. And if everything is engaged in that way, tavadhyane buddhischanaya yugalam murti vibhave paragrandhan kaiva paramashivajani paramataha. So if all the senses in the body are linked to Krishna, then what can happen? He mentions here, paramatam, there's nothing left then. If all my senses, senses of knowledge and senses of action, is somehow connected with Krishna, then there is nothing to worry about anything after that, isn't it? So that is what he mentions here. So therefore, devotees, again, what we are talking about, this sadhana process. Sadhana process in the sense that all these activities, spiritual activities, is not for receiving any benefit from that. That means to set up a system in such a way that all the time, somehow or the other, to stay in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Acharya gives us so many different ways of doing that. Shivananda Lahari is a beautiful poem, how a devotee engages his whole time in spiritual life. Waking up from the morning, it mentions here that from the time one has woken up, what does he do? He does like this. Kanjit kala uma mahesha bhavada padara vindarchanehi kanjil dhyana samadhi bijanadibhi kanjil katha karnanehi kanjil kanjila vekshameshanudibhi kanjil dasham idrisham yapratnodi muda tavarpidamana jivam samukthakhalu. This is an important verse. Why? Kanjil kala uma mahesha bhavada Padaravinda Archanehi. They are Shiva's devotees. For this Shivananda Hari is Shiva's devotee. They are busy whole day. What is that? Uma Mahesha Bhavada Padaravinda Archanehi. Continuously offering flowers to Shiva and Parvati. Both of them. Continuously offering flowers to them. And their lotus feet. And whenever they get some time, when they are not offering flowers, when they get time, what do they do? Kanjil dhyana samadhibi channudhibi kanjil katha karmanehi. That whoever attains to a state in which he joyfully surrenders his heart. Kanjil dhyana samadhibi. Dhyanam is that. Constantly surrendering to them. Constantly. That means continuously putting oneself being as a servant, always to live in that state of consciousness. And chanudhibi kanjil katha karnanehi, that always whenever gets an opportunity to glorify the deities, Shiva and Parvati or Krishna, whomever one is absorbed in. And if not, Hearing about them through Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any other Shastram in that way. So this way, always engaged, not giving any time for anything else. Then, Kanjil Kanjila Vekshanaischa Nudibhi.
kanjil dashami drisham. And when this is not happening, absorbing the body, engaging the body in surrendering, in paying obeisances to the form. So keeping the body occupied in that way. And if not giving attention to seeing the image of Krishna or Shiva in that form and absorbing there and singing the praise and glorifying him. And such a person, what will happen? Yapraapnodi mudata varpidamana jivan samukta khalu. If one does that all the time, in this very life, he gets released from this bondage here. So, here, after waking up in the morning, offering flowers to the deity, then decorating the deity, and glorifying through different songs to glorify the deity, and then meditation, and then in the samadhi sthiti, and then for some time studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, and so many things. So, Mirabhai says like that if I haven't got anyone to talk to, I don't mind, she says. She says, because she had to go through a very hard time, isn't it? If you read about Mirabhai's life, you will see how the royal family tortured her for becoming Krishna conscious. She had to go through a very hard time. And so nobody will talk to her. She was practically excommunicated from the whole society. And she says there that if I have nobody to talk to, it doesn't matter. I can talk to Krishna, she says. Then Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, reading them, and Salsangam, Katha Shravanam, hearing about Krishna, visiting the temples, paying the obeisances, circumambulation of the deity, visiting holy places, like that, all the time absorbing in spiritual activities. So, and engaging the body and all the senses, everything surrendered to Krishna. Madartham abhikarmani kurvan. Krishna uses that word. And in order to expand that is how it is. And while going to bed also, performing the arati to Krishna and eventually closing the eyes while going to bed. And if we do like that, what will happen in the dream state? Krishna will come in that dreams also. If in the vacant state, in the jagrat state, if we live like that, one person asked, when I'm going to sleep, I'm seeing a lot of dreams. How to control them? The answer to that was that if when you are not sleeping, if you are not dreaming, then in the dream state, while sleeping, you won't get any dreams. Because we dream so much during the day, in the night when we go to sleep, we get a lot of dreams. But if we stop dreaming during the day, then we won't dream at night either. So in vacant state, in jagrat state, what happens? That is what will come in the dream state mostly. Therefore, in the jagrat state, it is important to keep occupied with this meditation, chanting the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam, in that way. So, if it is Jabakshani Yuktasya Prasidati, Jabam, Dhyanam, Pradakshinam, Namaskaram, all these things, all these things are for the devotees. Padando Namani Pramada bharasindo nipaditaha smarando rubam devarada kathayando gunakathaha charando e bhakta soigaliramande paramamo maham dhanyan manye samadigadan sarva bhilashidan. That is, and you'll see that in the Narayaniyam, it says like that. Padando namani, always chanting the holy name. Pramada bharasindo nipaditaha. Because you are chanting in Krishna consciousness proper way, that you feel into a state of happiness. Smarando rubam te. Because of that, memory of Krishna comes in. Varada kathayando gunakathaha. Then naturally you start talking about Krishna, about gunakathaha. Gunakatha means Krishna's transcendental qualities, Krishna's transcendental activities. All the time talking about Krishna. In other words, that becomes very enjoyable, because science of Krishna is a very big science, isn't it? If you study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam alone is sufficient to keep the whole life occupied, if you take it seriously. It has that much to offer, Srimad Bhagavatam. So wide is that spectrum of Bhagavatam's philosophy. Not only Bhagavata Dharmam in the 10th canto, Ekadasha Skandam, what he talks about the philosophy, what Krishna presents to Uddhava, and in the transcendental activities of Krishna in the 10th canto, and the history of all the great devotees in different cantos, what you see there, and the interaction between Parikshit and Sukhabrahmarshi. Sukadeva Goswami's discussions with Parikshit in the 12th canto, so much to offer from Bhagavatam, each and every verse will give us so much occupation with the Bhagavatam alone. Many, many people live their life in this world, absorbed in the Bhagavatam in that way. They don't come out and declare to the world, I am doing this. They live their life in that way. So that is what it says here, that is what Krishna is mentioning here, that madartham abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So in this way, spending the time in this world. In this way, if you spend the time in this world, that is the other option. So they will experience Krishna in their heart in that way. There are people, many people, because Bhagavatam is read on a 7 days period in many places, isn't it? On a 7 day, that means from morning to night, 6 o'clock in the morning starts and finish at 6, 7 in the evening. They say after the sunrise and before the sunset you have to stop. You can start after sunrise and then you have to stop before sunset. That's the rule relation to this reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Padma Puranam it talks about that. So what many people do, they'll go to different places. They'll finish in one place 7 days, they'll go to the next place where somewhere else it's going on. In this way, whole lifetime they keep busy themselves in this way. This is one easy process compared to every other process. And if you keep on doing year after year in this way, after a certain time, you cannot have any interest in anything else. You'll be always inquiring, where is Srimad Bhagavatam going on? Let me go there and listen to it. And they'll get to know one temple to another temple, they keep moving like this. Everywhere you will see this, all through many, many places, people do like that. So that is what Krishna is saying, that madarthamai karmani kurvan siddhima vapsisi, when nivasishyasi mayeva, how to live in Krishna. That is the process. How to live in Krishna all the time. You can't ask the question, well, how are you going to make a living then? That question doesn't arise there. You have to live in that way, so that whatever you have got, you have to live with it. There's no higher planning there to live a different life. So in the bhakti process, Krishna is says here that if you do like that, dhyanam, meditation will become in a natural way. Kurvan siddhimo vapsyasi, Krishna mentions there. That means if you can't do anything else, at least to fix this mind in that way, to be situated in Krishna. So in bhakti process, we have to hand over the mind, senses, everything to Krishna all the time. Everything to Krishna. So, jnanam process is based on Shraddha. Jnanam process is based on Shraddha. Bhakti process is senses, mind and the intelligence all making it Krishna conscious. So, whatever we do in our dealings in this world, in this material world, vyavaharam, we have to do all that with Krishna also, in that way. And bring that divinity into that. So in all the vyavaharam, to bring that, is that what Krishna is mentioned here. Whatever we hear, whatever we eat, whatever we taste, whatever we touch, everything centered around Krishna. That is another kind of sadhana, or what they call it as charya. That is what is important here. So to smell the flowers offered to Krishna, and to see Krishna's beautiful form, and to hear Krishna's holy name and the kirtanam, and music and everything comes only in bhakti. In jnana margam there is no music. Music is only in the Bhakti Margam. So devotees, they sing and they enjoy it in the Kirtanam. But all those great devotees who have chanted the holy name and they have realized Krishna, and their outpourings of what they have experienced inside is what we have called today as Kirtanam. That's what Kirtanam means. Kirtanam is not like a poet, you sit down and write something, poetry. That's not Kirtanam. Proper Kirtanam is that, like in the case of Tyagaraja and others, that they have surrendered so well to Ramachandra, and from there, chanting the holy name, he chanted the Ramachandra's name 96 crores. That means 960 million times he chanted the holy name of Ramachandra. So after chanting all that, the anubhuti or the realizations they experienced inside, they poured it out in the form of songs. Songs came out from them in the form of Kirtanam. That is all Tyagaraja Kirtanams are like that. Famous Kirtanams have come like that. So, when it is done like that, madartham avi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi, if we do like that, what will happen is, little by little, inside chittam gets purified and false ego will leave. False ego will leave. And where will it take us? And eventually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions, if you look in the seventh canto, you will see what will happen to that chittam at that stage. In the seventh canto, if you look into the fifth chapter, there is 3-4 verses about that. What Prahlada says about that. That Prahlada state is what is 5th chapter.
നൈരുദാസ്തേ സമാദിഷ്ട ഭർത്രാവൈശൂലപാണയ തിന്മന്ദംഷ്ടകരാളസ്യ സ്താമശ്മശ്വശിരോരുഹാം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി വാസ് ടോർച്ചേർഡ്. ഹു വാസ് ടോർച്ചേർഡ്? പ്രഹ്ലാദ വാസ് ടോർച്ചേർഡ് ദർ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ദാറ്റ് ടോർച്ചർ ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് ദർ. ദാറ്റ് നദന്തോ ഭൈരവാന്നാദാം ചിന്തി ബിന്ധി ഇതി വാദിന ആസീനം ചാഹനം ചൂലൈ പ്രഹ്ലാദം സർവമർമ്മസൂം പരേ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യ നിർദ്ദേശേ നിർദ്ദേശ്യ ഭഗവതി അഖിലാത്മനി യുക്താത്മന്യഫല ആസന്ന പുണ്യസ്യേവ സൽക്രിയാഃ. സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി വേഴ്സ് 39 ഹി സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ബിഗ് ഡീമൺസ് ഹു വാസ് എൻഗേജ്ഡ് ബൈ ഹിരണ്യകശിപു, ദേ ഹാഡ് ടേക്കൻ ദർ ട്രൈഡൻസ് ആൻഡ് ദേ വർ പോക്കിംഗ് പിയർസിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൺ ടു പ്രഹ്ലാദസ് ബോഡി. Prahlada's body, and they gave a lot of pain, creating a lot of noise as well, and they were torturing Prahlada in that way with those spears. But Prahlada was peaceful, very very peaceful within himself. Why? Pare brahmanna nirdeshe bhagavati akhilatmani yuktaatmanya bhalam asanna punyasyeva salkriyaha. Because Prahlada, it means Pare Brahman Anirdeshya, he was fixed in that Brahman realized state, in the Brahman realized state. And his mind, he was so absorbed in that Bhagavati Akhilatmani, that so realized he was, he could only see the soul in everything, nothing else. Body, he could not even know that he had a body. Prahlada was not even conscious about his own body. He didn't know. You see, this is what I am saying, that body, we think we are this body, so deeply it has gone in, isn't it? But if due to when self-realization happens, we will clearly see what our connection is with this body. That's what happens at that time. Not that the body goes away. We will know what our connection is with this body. That's what has happened to Prahlada. Prahlada realizes that this body has nothing to do with me. It is standing in this world, just like that tree is standing, this body is standing there. But inside, connection is broken. That's what is mentioned here. Pare brahmanya nirdeshe bhagavati akhilatmani yuktaatmanya bhala asanna punyasyeva salkriyaha.
So therefore what happened? Because it was like that, his state was like that, these people were trying their best to destroy him. In the nothing was happening in him. He was not at all disturbed over it, anything, because so far he was separated between the mind and the body. Mind and the body. So it is a long way to get the mind out of the body. It's going to go a long way. So that's why he says here in the 42nd, you will see here that when all their torture, it was probably worse than Guantanamo Bay. The torture, Hiranyakashipu's plans were worse than that. But in spite of that, Prahlada wasn't feeling anything like that. He was fine. Because body is something standing there. Our connection with this body is a very funny thing. We think that it's my body, my body, my body. I keep repeating this every day, isn't it? And looking after this body, this is a whole 24-hour business. But once that connection is broken, you will see that the body is standing there and the body will go its own way. I have nothing to do with the body. And that's what has happened to Parikshit also at the end, isn't it? At the end, what? Aham Brahma Parandam Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. That is that state when one is able to say that. And Prahlada was already in that state. That is why he mentions there nothing was happening. And you will see there that the Prahlada accept this. And he says, and Prahlada was absorbed, so absorbed in the soul that tears were coming from his eyes. Tears were coming from his eyes. That is self-realization. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.